Super Gaming Best Friends. Super Gaming Best Friends. Monkey throwing barrels. Hunting ducks with dogs of scenarios, and we'll play with you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Super Gaming Best Friends, the number one rated podcast on HorribleNight.com. It is Wednesday, May 16th, 2012. I'm your host, Josh Lee. Joining me, as always, the EIC of HorribleNight.com, also my PIC, and sometimes a DIC. Justin Lacey is here.
At least one of those is correct. I'm curious, though, where's your source on the number one rating? Because I've been trying to follow us, and...
Wait, I've got it right here. Let's see, it says top podcasts on HN, and then in the number one spot, it says SGBF. I'm looking at it right now here on a piece of paper. So if it's written down, probably true.
I've heard it too. I can't remember. Let me think. Who was it? Oh, I want to say Bob McGregory, but I know that's not right because it's just like, you know, ease of recognition, right, you know, yes. The name rolling off, but like Bob McGregory. Ponderosovich or something like that. Something
sounds reputable. Yes. Sounds reputable.
Yeah, Ponderosovich.
Yeah.
Ethan Moses is here as well. He's sitting in a corner somewhere.
I'm location. Not.
Podcasting from a Starbucks tonight.
Is that true? I'm having a mocha latte. Hold the whipped cream. I don't even know what a mocha latte is. I would even, if you ordered me one in a friendly way, I wouldn't drink it because I wouldn't even know what it looked like.
I think that's a line in a song from that movie with those people.
Yeah. Sounds like it. I am enjoying coffee.
Song. A lot of dancing and stuff. Yeah, yeah, the one with the dancing.
Living the Vida Loca?
Mamma Mia?
No, it's a different
that
one.
That was a great. That was
I don't
great.
Remember really anything about it except
Ricky Martin ate with
Grease
the president 2? This weekend.
Yeah, it was Grease 2.
Grease 2, that could be.
Yeah, you got it. Oh, how's it going, Ethan?
I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good guy.
I really don't like doing this remote with you because your picture on Skype it scares the shit out of me, and it's always too big. Like
that's
I can't
a new character
shrink down enough.
That's a new character I invented, Close Face.
it's incredibly close and even closer when you're talking.
It's a face too.
Yeah. And also joining us, a very special guest, first appearance on any of the Horrible Night shows, one Mr. Justin Gidman, also known as Dito, short for Bandito.
That's right.
Oh. Nickname assigned to him by us?
Yeah, it was like an inside joke.
Yeah,
late in the evening.
Yes, it's a gaming reference. There was maybe some knife fighting going on.
Yes, well, no, it was Counter-Strike. There wasn't any real knife fighting. It was... An elaborate story based on absolutely nothing that happened in the story. We made it up. We made it up as we went, and it.
Well, and it's been a while since that fateful night, so yeah. It's kind of hard to tell. The details are foggy.
That's right.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. It's going pretty good. Yeah.
It's nice to have you on here because we really are super gaming best friends in. You know, outside of the site, even we play a lot of games together, have over the years, everything from, you know, video games, to board games, card games. We played it all.
Yep.
Water
love sports. Games.
Water sports. We might have played
head games.
We have. I think we've listened to head games before.
Yes, definitely.
Together.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So very excited to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Good. And it's good to be super best gaming buddy friends with you and and
close,
the man. Other, you know, the rest of you I've met one time. So, you know, we're pretty much just.
What are you talking about? We played like 24 hours of Diablo 3.
That's together. True. That's true.
Oh, but my God.
I met in person.
You're not supposed to bring that up. That's we said we spent. That was just like the most taxing thing. I mean, it was fun. But oh, the BattleNet server issues we had,
yeah,
and you know, but the stream quality was great, and we were really entertaining. But I thought we said, you know, we were going to talk about it because it was like such a crazy ordeal, and it was just like a large portion of our life for this week.
How can you not talk about it when they released the 3D6 Villa 2 mod right after launch? It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that was yeah okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys remember when we were playing and Josh made that really. Really nice donation to that charity for like $10,000, and he just said he would never go back on that, and it was really heartfelt.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we recorded that moment, so it'll be
play again
forever locked in history.
Right. Yep.
You're welcome, Jerry's kids.
No, Peyton Manning's name is coming down off the Children's Hospital here in Indy, so it's open. Like it's ripe for the taking.
Well, they're taking his name down off that?
Yeah, well,
joshlee.com.
Yeah, that's what we talked about during the Diablo show.
Right? Joshlee.com and Diablo 3 present the Riley Children's Hospital.
Yeah. I don't remember all the details because at that point, remember, I was really drunk and I was puking a little bit. And then I tried to kiss one of you guys.
One of us?
Well, he kept doing his Deckard Cain voice. I couldn't blame you.
Whatever do you mean?
Nice Herodric boobs you have there.
Herodric boobs. The Deckard Cain rap was just about the best thing that we saw during the Diablo 3 cast. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Made the downtimes worth it.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's get on with the show, guys. As always, we like to start this off with the on-the-spot question of the week. You can send your own in to ask@horriblenight.com. Justin, you've got Justin Lacey.
Yep.
You have this week's on-the-spot question, sir?
I do. There was a trailer released this weekend for MechWarrior Online that was just – it was so badass that they didn't even put music to it. It was just a bunch of robots destroying each other. And there are multiple mech games coming out in the next year. I think upwards of 4 or 5 now. But my question to you guys is – well, actually, is which type of mech games do you prefer? Do you want the super simulator where you have to maintain – all your weapon heat settings, or do you want to go arcade style with it?
Dito, you want to answer that first?
Sure. You know, I have a lot of experience in this field, so you know, I just want to first off say whatever answer comes after me, just compare it to my answer, and if it's not the same one, you should probably just disregard it.
Is mech games a field? Can you get like a Phoenix University degree in mech games, like online?
Well, yeah.
It's DeVry.
Yeah, my understanding of how those degrees work is it's just a Windows form, and you just type in whatever you want your degree to be, and then they save it in their database and print it out on your diploma. So
mech pilot.
There's a lot of flexibility there. CEO of mech warriors.
Well, so
warriors.
But you played like MechWarrior 4, right? You've seen like some of the older MechWarrior games,
right? Yeah. And I played them. I never had a local copy. I played them at our local LAN center,
the best LAN center, Netheads.
Yep, I've been to many LAN centers, and I've never been one quite like Netheads. But yeah, no, I think for me, my gaming style, which is unique, there's probably no gamers out there that have my taste, but I think for me,
Snowflake.
Yeah, I want those complex games where you have to play them for a little bit. To really understand the dynamics of what affects what and how it changes. So I would go with the heat sink, watch your ammunition, watch your heat sink, don't overheat, as opposed to the arcade game.
Well, there's going to be some bias there because you've actually played the BattleTech tabletop game.
Right.
Which is amazing. So,
right.
Yeah. And that's, I don't think you can play that and then not get pumped for just whatever, you know, the MechWarrior, you know, kind of style of a little bit more slower, deliberate kind of game.
Right.
But I've played the BattleTech, like Battle Pods.
Yeah, that's
at the giant arcades. So I think I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, have you played it with the harder difficulty settings, like where you use all the switches and the buttons and the?
I just know I won and I was like 6 or 8.
And no, you didn't play it on that.
No.
That at Gen Con, they have those things set up every year.
I think there's still a company out there. I did some research on it because I was trying to figure out what mech game it was aligned with. I couldn't remember as far as MechWarrior versus BattleTech versus Earth Siege and
MechWarrior and BattleTech are the same thing. MechWarrior is what they call the BattleTech games. Yeah.
And so I did that kind of research, but I guess there's a company out there that still maintains those pods and takes them to gaming events. So
yeah. I don't remember the name of that the guys that bring it to Gen Con, but they just like outside like the main room, like the vendor hall. There's this hallway and it's just lined with pods, and they got some TVs where you can watch and stuff. And man, it seems like at some point they maybe upgraded the textures a little bit. Same polygon count, but it looks a little bit better. You know, it looks like MechWarrior 3-ish. You know, I was like, that's not terrible, especially when you know, it's all about the controls. Ethan, what about you?
I'm pretty open-minded when it comes to my mech games. I like simple, you know, arcadey mech games. I like something a little bit more complicated. But actually, what's actually got my attention is MechWarrior Tactics. I'm kind of excited about that. The idea of having control over a variety of different, you know, mechs. I mean, why have only one mech? Why don't I have a couple different mechs? I mean, you know, Dito, you understand having a, you know, background in the field and all. I mean, more is better, you know, in that situation. So I definitely like that idea. I also like piloting my real mech in real life.
You have cats, my Kia, or cats.
Kia 2008.
Yeah. cats.
Well, have any of you guys played the Living Legends Crisis mod?
No,
we've talked about this before on I think the Horrible Show.
Yeah, looks tight. Looks yeah, total, it totally is ex- tight.
Yes, yeah. Extremely
off the chain.
Yeah, tight graphics, tight gameplay.
Smooth, looks smooth too.
Yeah, it's very smooth. It's crisp as well. I would describe it as crisp. That so far up until. Because what I've seen of, and I actually haven't seen the new trailer actually of MechWarrior Online. I didn't have time to look at it, but I saw some of the previous stuff, and you know, up till the announcement of this new game, I would say Living Legends by far the best MechWarrior game that's out there, and it's going to follow it's a little maybe more actiony than the old MechWarrior games, just because you know you can like fly the aerospace jets or whatever. And you know, get tanks and all that kind of stuff, and it's pretty shootery. It's Crisis Engine, but it's still got a lot of the you know management of heat and weapon management and all that kind of stuff. But what about the anime kind of style of games? You know, like the armored. Well, I don't say not necessarily anime, but
anime.
But like the you know the Armored Core stuff, or I thought of Virtual On. That's probably Zone of Enders. Those are the more kind of Japanese animation style games. But you got a lot of Armored Core. What's the other one? The new Front Mission game was, you know, a mech game, and those are a little more actiony. That's like third person view. You know, do any of you guys enjoy those games? Have you played any of them, and did you like them?
I mean, Front Mission Evolved was pretty bland. Yeah, it has a possibility of being really cool. I mean, I like the, you know, I like the idea of having a little bit more arcadey feel to it, but having, you know, still some pretty good combat. But I mean, they didn't do it right. They messed it up. You know, you need a little bit more. They tried to force the Front Mission Evolved game into almost like a full or like a first person shooter type restriction in terms of how linear everything is. So I almost feel like you can't do these games right unless you have kind of an open battlefield. They need to be battles. You know, they need to be set up big set piece battles.
Yeah. The Armored Core series, I don't play them, but I know some people that always talk about how, you know, good those are. But man, that's usually kind of crazy to look at, a lot of jumping around, flying through the air. Like the closest I probably play would be like maybe Heavy Gear on the PC, which is, again, tabletop game, which is kind of crazy, but it's a little more fast paced, and your mechs have like rocket boots and stuff like that, so you can kind of slide around quickly.
Did you guys ever play the Dynasty Warriors Gundam game?
Oh no. Was that any good? Did you enjoy it?
Well, I mean, again,
compared to other Dynasty Warrior games, maybe.
Oh yeah, well, just the idea that you had robots as opposed to, you know, mythological Chinese warriors. I mean, I kind of prefer, you know, robots over that. But I mean, again, it's just, you know, there comes a point where after you're fighting, if you're fighting robots in that kind of scenario, after a while, you can get even bored of fighting a bunch of robots, which is surprising to me because I mean, I feel like you should never be. But you know, I like to see a solid Gundam game come into play that's based around that, but maybe not so just kill the same shit over and over again.
I never got into the anime side of it. I pretty much just stuck to the like Earth Siege and then Mech Warrior. Mech Warrior, is it two mercenaries? That was my jam for a while. And then, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to help myself because I really am looking forward to making a fool of myself around a large group of people with Steel Battalion Heavy Armor, the Kinect game.
Yeah.
With all the ridiculous hand motions.
Just, oh, you're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah, but it looks too, like just too much fun to avoid. And so I'm going to probably be a sucker for that one.
What about Hawken? Anyone talking Hawken?
I just remembered that. Like, holy, how the hell did we not mention this
game? That game looks amazing. Absolutely.
That's
amazing.
Fast paced.
I just,
but
oh,
first
yeah.
Person, like, so it's, in. Yeah, go ahead.
It's MechWarrior Online, Hawken, and then the Mech Assault guys are doing Reign of Thunder. Those are all the like free to play online ones, and it's gonna be really interesting to see how that all shakes out and if they can all who will be left standing there. Because yeah. I always felt like
Renaissance, man.
It's awesome, yeah. But it's also kind of unfortunate that they're all. I know Hawken's been in development for a long time. That they're all kind of coming out at the same time, but you know, there are worse problems to have, I guess.
Well, but we always kind of assume that games of similar type will cannibalize each other, and you know what? We'll probably find out soon enough with Torchlight 2 whether or not that actually is a thing that happens these days.
Old man told me that game sucks.
that old bastard.
He called me a pussy.
It's true. He did, but. Why, you know, why can't all these games succeed? If they're not coming out the same week, you know, like if as long as there's a market for that style of game, and especially, and I guess I'm thinking a lot of these games, you know, on the PC, because it seems like the PC market is their buying habits are a little more impulsive, or you know, like guys like what they like. You know, and they'll just eat up whatever you throw at them within a certain genre, and smaller games can get traction because the eyes, you don't have to worry about marketing on TV, you know, with a game like Hawken or something like that. So, although that one may come out on 360, right? So that will be multi-platform, but some of these others won't.
Right.
So I don't feel like that's necessarily a bad thing that where there's going to be four different games coming out, you know, within
the next 12 months. I mean, look at it this way. Remember when Armageddon and Deep Impact came out? And everyone was like, oh, there's no connection. And then there was like, what, like a meteor or comet, or actually it's called
an
asteroid.
The volcano movies came out.
I hope that.
Yeah, and that volcano exploded within a year after that. And the comet movies. So what's happening is all these mech games are coming out because they're like, you know, the global government, because the globe is run by a government, I think. I read that. They're saying, hey, you guys don't have enough experience with mech games, and real mechs are going to come, and you're going to have to fight them, and it's time to get prepared. And there's all these different ways you can do it because there's different models of mechs.
I just hope that they kind of take the cue from the Armageddon movies and the volcano movies. And I mean, what if there's four mech games? You still Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, and Pierce Brosnan are all still out there. They can all be signed to represent your games.
Right.
No, I just yeah.
The FMV, just put them in, like to introduce the game. Like everyone will have their own game introduction video with a different celebrity.
I like it.
They should a cappella the main theme to your game, and you would sell a million games.
Oh my god!
Like rock cappella.
Rock cappella. Yes, that's the correct answer.
Well, if these cannibalize each other, if these games cannibalize each other, it's okay. Because with your brilliant marketing schemes, I think you'll be able to negate any losses that they would experience. Yep. Yes, it's going to work.
Okay, I have one more idea I want to throw out in this discussion. You mentioned Steel Battalion, Justin.
Yes.
And its Kinect features. Have you seen the movie Robot Jocks?
Mm.
The ultimate mech movie.
It is.
With Gary Graham. Paul Koslow. No? Anyone?
No. Got nothing.
Dito.
I've seen it.
Was Hugh Jackman
more times than I've seen my mother. I don't know if that gives you... And I'm not, like, adopted, so... It's not like a joke.
I have a mouse pad here with Alexander. The actor who played Alexander in the movie, his face on a head, beautiful headshot. Not joking at all. Dito actually gifted it to me.
Yeah.
Very relevant. And anyways, in this movie, the guys that were piloting the mechs were standing up. They'd strap in this thing like on their back that would hold them upright, but to move, they would actually like move the arms. They would move their arms. To walk, they would take their legs and like walk in place. Now, imagine doing that with Kinect, with Steel Battalion.
Yeah, you still look like an asshole.
If only.
No, you would. That's the point. You're going to look like a complete asshole because you're moving your whole body, acting like you're doing like do the robot dance, you know, and then, but your robot in the game is doing the robot dance.
If only Kinect came with a mech suit to wear.
Oh, shit.
Now, that would be okay because you have the suit on and people be like, oh, he's a mech. That's why he's acting.
No, I want to see. I want to see them like make the official mech suit, and then Mad Cats like kind of make their secondary one that breaks down.
Like the straps on the chest piece are too tight. Yeah, and they break all the time.
And Nyko, like the offshoot mech suits. Here you go. That's when you know you've made it.
Robot Jocks XBLA Kinect title 2013. Someone, please. All right, guys. So let's move on to. What are you playing? We're going to talk about some of the games we've been playing for the last 2 weeks, and we'll get into, you know, hopefully some games you maybe haven't played yourself, maybe some that you have played, and you just get a different take on it. So we'll kick it off with Justin Lacey. What have you been playing, sir?
I kind of hit a lull after my Mass Effect run finally came to an end, and I kind of vented about that whole experience, but online, so I won't. I'll take a Mass Effect break for Super Gaming Best Friends, and I started looking through the backlog. I knew I had some bigger games coming up in May and wanted something to kind of fill in the spot, and I went to Bayonetta, finally. I bought this game right around the time it came out, and I probably played two levels when it originally, when I first put it in, but I never went back to it, and I don't know why. So this is a character action game, much in the style of Devil May Cry. It's actually from the creator of Devil May Cry, and was one of those platinum games that was released about 2 years ago, right alongside Vanquish, and there are a few others, but it was kind of a resurgence for Sega as a publisher there for a bit, as you just kind of, you know, these average-looking Japanese games that you didn't expect much out of that. For both Bayonetta and Vanquish, they kind of stood out from the crowd once you actually played them. So I don't know why it took me so long to go back to it, but I finally did. And, you know, the game still holds up. This is one of my favorite genres. I don't know why. I think it's born of my love for the action of Castlevania, I guess. And when they took that to 3D and I really became enamored with the Devil May Cry series on the PlayStation 2, and actually really enjoyed Devil May Cry 4 on the Xbox 360, and I hadn't really had a kind of stylish action experience since then. Bayonetta definitely hits all the right notes there, but I still cannot figure out what the hell is going on, and I don't know if it matters as far as the story goes, just because the character is so weird. It just kind of over-sexualized for no apparent reason. Like, so you play as Bayonetta, who is a witch that is basically fighting. There's a war between basically heaven and hell, and you're fighting against the angels because one side is trying to take over, you know, the human's plane or whatever. And
are you talking about Diablo 3?
Yeah, like exactly. I think we're talking about Supernatural. I think we're talking about a lot of things.
Yeah, right.
All which explain the story much more clear. But all you need to know is, like, if either side wins, it's kind of a bad thing. So I don't. It's kind of like you don't even know if you're on the right side. But the nice thing about playing as Bayonetta, who has a little bit of amnesia throughout the beginning of the game, is that this game is all about the ridiculous boss battles. And every boss battle, the bosses are huge. You have to, there are several moments in each battle where she'll summon a demon that it's basically a hair demon, because as Bayonetta is fighting and
get
into more and more combos, she starts losing her clothing, which is actually made up of her hair. I don't really understand that, but so when she summons the giant hair demon, she's pretty much naked when she does it, and then but the demon will be some sort of like dramatic figure that I think there's been like a dog, a dragon, a crow that just demolishes whatever you're fighting, and in the most gory way possible. There's a lot of like tentacles being pulled, ripped out, and things being ripped in half or holes chewed through characters. It's just over the top and unnecessary and fantastic all at the same time. So
if I didn't know anything about this game, your description just now would have been, my mind would have just exploded.
It takes about four chapters before you get to the first boss. And up till that point, I was kind of wondering what all the fuss was about with this game, because it's kind of become a cult favorite. And
right.
You know, the action is just as good as any of the other, you know, stylish action games that are out there. But at the same time, you don't really, there's a little bit of depth. There's a lot of depth to it that I'm not good enough to get into, but it just, you know, I just do what I can and get through the levels and it's fine. And it's got a very steep difficulty to it in that, right. It's constantly rating your performance in each battle or each little set piece. When you're fighting five or six guys, it'll give you a score, and I'm always getting, you know, the lowest medal or barely getting by. And so I was kind of getting frustrated with it until I came across that first boss, and it does a nice combination of your moves become powered up to basically, be able to damage this creature that is just taking up the entire screen. And then, you kind of have these staged finishing moves that use a combination of quick time events and then a lot of moves where you're just having to tap on one of the buttons until you power up the full meter to get the ridiculous amount of damage. And that's just satisfying, especially when there seems to be no way you should be able to damage this creature, and she's just kicking ass and making snarky comments the entire time. And I'm having a lot of fun with it.
And the hair, like the hair balls that she's throwing at you, are those pretty damaging? The hair balls?
The hair demons are pretty damaging.
Hair demons?
Yeah, I don't know why she loses her hair as she's fighting, but it's like she's not really wearing clothes. It's somehow,
well, Justin, do you think that her hair is made out of nanomachines?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Because you
that sounds ridiculous.
Nanomachines can do that. They can form hair or clothes.
I don't know.
You know this.
Have you ever seen a nanomachine do it?
That's what I was going to say. Has? Show me concrete proof. That was, yeah. No, I don't. Yeah.
I think it's a stretch.
All right. Maybe
hair demon. It's a hair demon.
It's probably just, no, you're right. It's probably just magic.
Hair mech. Yeah, hair just, mech. Yeah.
Hair.
Except it's magic.
They got to do something for Bayonetta 2. I'm sure hair mechs are involved.
No, I wouldn't mind that.
But I just don't know.
Like a big gossamer,
like wads of like flaky skin or something. Like you just start, like you lose different parts of your body that are normal maintenance. Like, you know, like you lose your hair, so that's a hair
like
ball.
Martin Brundle,
fingernails.
Yeah, exactly.
Toenails.
Toenails. You know, that could be three. I think they've got, you know, there are a lot of parts in the human body. They've got a really long series. It's gonna be like Land Before Time. You know, they're gonna have 30 versions of this thing.
That would be great.
Straight
watch
video.
Out for my toenail demon. It wouldn't be as big, though. Got a lot of hair. Could you imagine a suit made entirely of toenails? I mean, just outside of video games.
It'd be like scale mail.
That's okay. You just made it sound really cool, actually. I was going to make a joke about how you probably wouldn't have any dates, but if you have scale mail on, people want to fucking suck your ding dong.
Almost. It's like, but I didn't. This is like toe fungus scale mail. Then like it's kind of less attractive.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully these are lab grown toenails.
Yeah. It is dry. It really is.
It is. Yeah.
I know, but thing. I have a friend. I have a friend. I knew a guy.
It adds a flame proof layer underneath the initial, you know, impact protection. No, it's perfect. Yeah. Fungal suits of armor.
I don't know
if I trust a cuticle to like hold the armor together though.
No, you. Oh my! Really? Do we have to go into? No, you're an idiot.
That's what you use the nanomites for.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, go contract your nanomachines to fucking
Google will buy them. They're buying everything. Google will buy it.
Nanomachine snob over here. Jeez.
What is the nanomachine market like these days?
Emerging.
Okay.
I think I got them. I think I got them at the doctor's office the last time I was there. Like, I felt a lot stronger after I left.
Do they inject those into you? Do you drink them?
You can get, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways you can get nano machines, but yeah, I think injection tends to be the usual way of getting nano machines inside you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll buy that.
Yeah. So I don't really know who the target audience is for these games. I love them just from the, I guess, from the action side of just accomplishing ridiculous feats.
Sure.
But I mean, even Devil May Cry, like, the story is nothing. There's nothing to latch on to. And I also started thinking about the recent release, Azure's Wrath, which kind of
I'll goes put that in the same category. And that gameplay is not goes the same, but man, it's yeah.
I think it just goes a step further. Like,
right.
Of being interactive cutscenes much more so than Bayonetta, but like the memorable parts of Bayonetta are probably the strengths of Azure's Wrath from what I'm hearing. So like, because the boss battles play out that way. It's basically, I'm having to just slam a bunch of buttons to get combos going until I get that cutscene where I can do the move that really takes down their energy. And yeah. I think Azure's Wrath just kind of skips all of that and just lets you cut to the meat of it. And so I wonder if that's a good or a bad thing, but for some reason, Bayonetta is much more accessible to me because it has some more video game elements to it than just
hair armor. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. In the hair armor. No. But
yeah. Well, that's, you know, if you like crazy over the top, like maybe kung fu films or something like that, you know, like that might be. I'm trying to think like the person, like what is it about those games that is attractive to us? And like, how would you relate that to somebody if they're like, "What? This all sounds just like insane." Like, well, I guess that's the whole point. If it sounds crazy when it's described, sounds interesting, then you should try out this game. You should probably play Vanquish,
right?
Maybe Deadly Premonition. You know, like,
yeah. I mean, Austin's it is. Wrath. It's starting crazy to creep game into that Deadly Premonition range of cult hits. And so I'll be really curious to see how the new Devil May Cry turns out. Kind of being with a studio that kind of likes to focus on story and character a little bit more, to see if they can evolve the genre a bit, because I don't really, it's kind of aimless right now, and it's fun. It's definitely what I was looking for as far as like a mental break after playing through all three Mass Effect games. And so it definitely hit that itch, but I've been struggling to figure out what audience are they trying to hit, and what is the future of that, of the character action genre supposed to be. So,
well, anyway. Hope they don't stop making.
No. Yeah. Please. Me neither.
Ethan, you want to talk about something you've been playing, sir?
Oh, I'd love to, Josh. Thank you for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as everyone knows, I really enjoyed my time with Operation Raccoon City, the latest Resident Evil installment. I wouldn't call it an installment. It's a side game. But I had a lot of fun with it. And actually, they've released some DLC in the last week, I believe. Now, they had originally released a free downloadable content mission that was a prequel to the good guys of the story, because there are bad guys that you play as initially when you take on the game. It was the Umbrella Special Forces team. But there's also some good guys, because where there's bad guys, there's usually good guys. And these are really good guys and ladies. There's some ladies there too. Equal opportunity. But the DLC missions actually just feature this group, and you're more or less, you know, completing missions that aren't unlike the missions that you complete as the Umbrella soldiers. Or the wolf pack, as they're referred to. But the thing is from a moral and ethical perspective, you feel a little bit better about what you're doing, because you're trying to rescue people. You're not trying to hide things. You have friendly faces that aren't disguised by kind of, you know, scary looking masks. I you know, at the end of this game, I said to myself, I feel good. I feel good what I've done here. I've seen a lot of horrible things, but I feel good that I helped the people of Raccoon City.
And you don't like to play as the bad guy, so this is a very important aspect of this game.
I hate being a bad guy, and I was okay with being the bad guy in that game, because I mean, for the most part, you're kind of fighting faceless soldiers and zombies and that kind of stuff as the bad guys, and so you don't really see like the small face of a child before you have to, like, you know, decapitate them. Nothing weird like that. But once you're the good guys, you don't have to worry about any sort of gray area. You're totally on the white side, you know, not.
Whoa,
you
know, but, whoa, whoa.
Not skin tone wise. I realize out of context, it sounds very bad.
Why can't the black side be the good side?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. Damn it. You're right.
Half really our listeners point. Just dropped off. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Well, yeah, I did that last week, I think, too. Damn it.
It's okay.
Well, everyone knows what you. I mean. Everyone no, knows what I mean.
No, yeah. No, it's okay. No one's offended.
What's the name of the game again?
It don't matter if you're black or white, is what I'm trying to say. Oh. Did that help? God. Probably not.
Michael Jackson game?
There was a Michael Jackson game. It was pretty cool. No, this is a Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City.
Mm-hmm. Resident Evil Orc.
Yeah, the Orc DLC. Delic. Yeah,
have you, in right. your searching since writing your controversial review, have you found anyone that kind of backs up your side of the story as well?
I think I've seen a couple people that have more or less said, you know, it's a fun game, it's buggy as hell, but it's a really fun game, and there's quite a bit of replayability to it. I think
you hung out on Game Facts. That's cool.
It wasn't Game Facts. It was my mom and I were having this conversation this past weekend, and she hasn't played the game, but she have you played the game yet, JoshLee.com?
No, I was waiting for the PC version before I tried it out, and I do think I am gonna try, even though I know it got totally panned. I'm kind of a sucker. You know, we recently did a show about this. There's certain types of games or franchises that we can't help ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
But buy, even though we think they're going to stink. So I was kind of waiting for the PC version, which sucks because you jumped in with the PS3 version. And now something tells me you're not going to buy it twice. So,
I'll be honest with you. I would not. Oh. Because, I mean, you know, this the game, not unlike Left 4 Dead. There's been comparisons, but these are two different games, so don't go into it thinking, it's like Left 4 Dead. It's not really like Left 4 Dead. Not comparable experiences.
Probably shouldn't have brought
outside
that
of, yeah, well, outside the cooperative aspect of it. But, you know, playing with your friends in this game is what is good about this game. While I did not disagree with some of the points some of the reviewers made, I disagree with how much focus they put on those points. It's when it is buggy, it's almost funny. It's not as frustrating. And I think if you got some dudes to play with, hey, I you know, looking back, getting it for PS3, I'm not really sure what my motivation was. outside of I hadn't played the PS3 for a while. And
weren't you playing with
said,
a brother or something like that?
Well, they never bought it. So that's kind of the point was, you know, I was going to play with my two brothers who live on, you know, one lives in California, one lives in Illinois, and, you know, they never got it. And which, you know, that's fine. I understand. No problems, guys. It's just sitting there. But then my PlayStation 3 itself actually spoke to me and said, hey, man, remember me? I said, I haven't forgotten you, you dick. But I kind of felt a little
bit. It's me,
bad.
Cross Media Bar. Navigate me.
Said all you do is play Blu-rays and watch Hulu on me. You know, and it was a little bit upset about that. So I'm
exactly the same as when I launched. XMB, remember me? So one last question here: were there any of these series mainstays, character-wise, that got thrown into the DLC? It's worth checking out. You know, did like somebody show up that?
Yeah, you've got Leon Jill. It's not a spoiler. I almost stopped myself because I thought maybe it was a spoiler. But actually, if you watch the trailers for
the Joker, is the Joker's in it?
No, the Joker's not in that.
Okay.
No one likes Batman.
He said Judd. I was assuming he was going to say Juno.
Juno's in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting cross promotion.
Ellen Page. Yeah, Ellen
but
Page.
But again, very
like,
top guys.
Zombie Juno.
I think our products will sell each other.
Yeah, no. Ellen Page is all about this game. She's the only person that gave it a higher review than I did. But no,
she's still in show business. I didn't know she was still doing.
Oh yeah, she's in The Last of Us. Actually, yeah, she's.
Oh okay. Yeah, that's right. That does look just.
No, that's not her. No, shut up, internet. Jill Valentine and Carlos, the lovely mercenary who was featured in Nemesis. They both make appearances. A couple zombies I recognize from Nemesis and
Bob and there. Johnny, the zombies.
A dog, a zombie dog. The zombie dogs in this game actually have explosives strapped to them, which is kind of a cool little, neat little twist.
Just like Call stuff. Of Duty.
No, that's you're mixing. That's
you're mixing. Yeah, that's yeah. They
that's
have
two different. That's two different devices. It's like a yeah. It's not. That's
oh,
not
they don't have dogs with explosives.
They have dogs and they have explosives on remote
that's
control.
That's just
cars.
A shame that but, zombie oh, dog wow. society has gotten to that point. I mean, they've actually stepped down since their original. You know, they were kind of a big deal in the first Resident Evil game.
Well, but
and
let
now
me tell you.
They're. Fodder for other zombies.
Oh, well, I gotta tell you though, when you see that dog coming, you're like, ah, it's a fucking dog. I got a handgun, it'll be fine. And then you're like, oh shit, what's blinking on its back? That's not a cell phone. That's not a cell phone. It's an explosive, and it makes you, I mean, it catches you off guard. I frankly said to myself, because I was playing by myself, that was shocking. That was definitely shocking. Then I answered myself, I said, you're right.
It was more shocking. Well, the more shocking was the zombie dog with the cell phone.
Boy, well, yeah, just they were preoccupied.
Just trying to give you a voicemail.
Did you hear a whimper right as they die, right before they explode?
No emotion at all. They knew what they were doing. They were in it to win it. They'll so have
it was 21 an active choice they made.
I just imagine the Karate Kid like montage of the zombie dogs in it to win it.
Montage. Zombie Michael Vick.
You're the best around. No one's ever gonna get you down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for a minute. I saw the dogs lifting
tongue wagging and stuff.
And, yeah.
Looking bones.
So okay, cool. That's kinda
the game.
Sounds cool, yeah. It launches on the PC in 2 weeks? 1 week?
Soonish?
Soon on in
everybody. Yes,
soon on Steam. I think it's on. I think it's got a discount right now on Steam.
Yeah, it's like it's 10%.
Yeah, 10% discount.
Steam's usual, you know, new release discount.
It's great though because it's not like you can always do that with you know Best Buy or GameStop. Dito, what have you been playing, man?
I always keep a kind of core set of games that I play all the time. You know, the game that I have the least experience that I've been working up playing is S-Creed, the Revelation. It's a lot of fun. Of course, I'm talking about Assassin's Creed for all of you who don't know the shortened version name of it.
Well, most people know Asbro.
Asbro.
As the follow-up, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And once you become brothers, then you establish the Creed, which is, of course, the sequel. And, you know, it's been pretty good. You know, they introduced a new tool that helps you climb faster, which, you know, being...
Because you're old.
right. Yeah, it's like a cane. It's like an assassin's cane. And so it was very helpful to me because, you know, I like to go around on the rooftops because that's something I can't do in real life. Like the assassinations, all that stuff I can do, but climbing, like actually just like walking up the wall and climbing it... You know, that's far-fetched. So I got a lot of value out of that, and it saves a lot of time. It's very convenient. So that was good. You know, it's got a new tool.
You like it for the climbing and the tourism.
Right, exactly. And that's a good point. Tourism, that's why I like it, because the other part I like is the parachute. And you can just kind of float down from the sky.
There's a parachute?
Yep, there's a parachute. And I don't know which button it is, but if you press all of them as you're going down in the air,
you're bound to get it. It
works. There's only one other like air action, so it ends up working pretty well. And I'm playing it on the PC, but with an Xbox controller. And so I will say that some people may have issues finding out which button the parachute is attached to because there's no real good mapping in the game. So
they don't come up with like the 360 controller prompts.
No,
because like most games, it seems like nowadays do that.
Yeah.
Because they just assume like you're plugging it. Cause it's
this is Ubisoft talking about here.
Oh yeah. Right. My bad.
Yeah.
Somebody called Jade Raymond. Tell her that we need some prompts.
Some prompts. Don't tell her anything else. Just, we would like some prompts, please. give us some prompts. So yeah, I mean, it's good. You know, it's another installment, It plays exactly like the first two did. If you could just imagine, you know, Ezio when he was younger,
Ezio.
And they just You know, crinkled up his face texture a little bit, put some white beards on him, gave him two new tools, and changed the enemy. And
Sounds great.
Yeah, and
pretty sure that was the pitch.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's what I was reading. But I think it's interesting that they are able to do that. And it's not like when you're playing it, you think that, oh, well, you know, this is kind of stupid. We're getting tricked. You know, we're buying the same game over and over and over again. Because they really do put a lot of time in the content, like the voices. The cutscenes are always good. They're always good to watch. You know, it's kind of like trying to think of a compare. Well, so like StarCraft II, the cutscenes in between the single player campaign were good. Like they weren't like, okay, I'm gonna escape that. I don't want to watch this. Like I don't want to. I'm just gonna skip. I'm gonna get straight to the action. Like, you can watch them and be pretty entertained. So, you know, they do that. Do a lot of conversations, a lot of voice text, and there are different things you can do. So I like it. I like it a lot.
What do you think of the? Didn't they integrate some like tower defense type stuff in this one?
Yes, you know, and I haven't gotten that deep into it, so there've only been three of those so far for me, and you know they're kind of cool. You know, I appreciate the sentiment that what they're trying to do, and I think some people will find that very unique because it kind of gives you an insight into the leadership aspect of your role. Because at this point, I think you're actually the head. Like everybody's like, hey, master, it's such an honor. Yeah. Everywhere you go, people suck your dick. Like
head chef.
Seriously.
Like, is it that bad? Like,
yeah.
So I played one and an hour of two. Okay, and I.
So I have no frame of reference for where this character is.
I heard people talk about it and all that kind of stuff.
But let me say something anyway.
But that's something I didn't know. Was that your character or that particular character who's in what, two or three games?
Three. Like, so, he kind of becomes...
He's in Assassin's Creed 2, Revelations, and Aspero as well, right?
Right.
Okay.
But he kind of like rises the ranks in Brotherhood. Like,
okay, but he starts lowly, right?
Right.
And this is like the second in his series, right? So he is... So like, I guess I just didn't realize that other people... You talked to a lot of people that knew what you did, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I thought you were just like, you know, like Batman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you talk. So
Batman can't
every
talk
time
shop,
I kill somebody,
you know?
Every time I kill somebody, talks to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has a little
even
chat.
If all shit is just breaking loose around him, like everything stops and let's have a quick conversation as you're dying and make sure you end this on a cliffhanger because I have to kill somebody else. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it. You know, it's funny because, like, he's always super nice to the guy when he's dying. He's like, I just shoved, like, a poison dart into you, shot you with a gun, and, like, you know, I threw you off a building. But, you know, I want to make sure you have closure on your life, and I want to make this transition into the next world as easy as possible. So I'm going to say, rest in peace, and I love you from the person killing you and assassinating you. It seems far-fetched, but, you know, this guy's got kind of a different moral creed.
Let me lay your head down gently.
Yeah, gingerly, just gently as you can onto this dagger.
tell my children I love them.
But yeah, Josh, you brought up a good point because I've forgotten that you kind of you never really got into the series. And yeah, I mean, Altair from Assassin's Creed 1, and we all know that game. The gameplay of that game doesn't really hold up that well anyway, and most of Assassin's Creed 2 feel fundamentally the same in that you are kind of the loner Batman type of assassin, but that's, I think, what elevated Brotherhood when it came out, was that they added more depth to recruiting other assassins and building up the, you know, building up the troop and being in charge of that, and then it sounds like Revelations just tries to cap all that off, and like it was... If you hear a lot of people talking about their adoration for the Ezio character, which I'm definitely a fan, it kind of sinks in about halfway through Brotherhood, I'd say. You're a fan of him, and it's kind of, you know, give or take Ezio or Altair after their first games, but Brotherhood kind of pushes Ezio over the top, and hopefully Revelations ends it well.
So you get that old familiar kind of character thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Like. You would have with like a Solid Snake or
yeah
right,
you know, yeah, anytime you return to a character in a game, it seems like more if I enjoyed one or two games in a series and then I see the character again, even if the game sucks, I want to know what happens to the character. So anybody that does a good job of that, I think, is there's something done right there. So
yeah,
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's good. It's been pretty good. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't get too far into the you know, the control against the invasion, because like basically there are always people trying to steal territory, and so, and that's one cool thing I like, because it's kind of, it's not only realistic, but you know, it's cool to see something like you're getting taken over, because you're taking their territory, and like the last one, they didn't go back and take it back, so. You know, it's like finders keepers, like you can't take it now. Like I've stormed the castle and you can no longer enter because, you know, you just can't. So, you know, more realistically, you would take something and be kind of like, you know, like conquest on battlefield or something like that. Like you take something, right, and then as you take that, your enemies try and take stuff. So, you know, I think that was cool. But
you upgraded the locks, maybe.
What's that?
Maybe you upgraded the locks.
Right.
The doors.
Yeah. 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 That's what it is. But.
Assassin proof.
Assassin proof. It's just locked. It's carbonite online.
No, that's like you have like the first padlocks maybe ever made.
Right.
So they're like, what the? I don't know. I don't know how to do this. This is master lock on it. I don't even know what.
Yeah, and they just leave.
Yeah, yeah. What is this number? I don't, can't read.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the element, it added a lot, and you know, it didn't add that much for me, but you know, I didn't mind it at the same time, and I think. You get a bunch of experience and stuff afterwards, and it's not particularly hard. So, yeah, it was good.
I mean, this Assassin's Creed talk is kind of...
What?
No, I can't. No. I don't have time.
Sure you do. Why not?
Because I got to play more Diablo 3.
That was a lot of fun when we did that.
Oh, yeah. My God. That was fantastic. You guys should go check out our Twitch TV archive. twitch.tv/horriblenight. You can check out the whole thing.
I'm sorry, awesome. I didn't, what was the link again?
twitch.tv/horriblenight.
Okay, thanks.
Is there an HTTP colon in that?
You don't need it. You don't need it. Okay. The browser figures it out.
Okay. So just twitch.tv/horriblenight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And yeah, cool. So I've been playing some games too, guys.
What?
Tell us about them.
Man.
I thought you were just a host.
So many. I played so many games that I had trouble thinking of what games I played. I'm like, well, I've just played all games, so I guess what I want to talk about, like, and I want to talk about Nation Red for a second. We brought this up on the horrible show last week, Ethan and I, briefly.
I blocked it out.
This is a top-down shooter, basically like twin stick shooter, but not in. Okay, so if you've ever played or heard of Crimson Land, this was a. Not super well known, but this is a PC title from 5-6 years ago or something. A
lot of fun.
It made its rounds. This is like an indie game and very much like single player Smash TV. There's been a whole lot of games since then that have come out, especially on the consoles, and a whole bunch of zombie themed ones like Burn Zombie Burn, Dead Horde, Zombie Kill Some Zombies. Zombie Invasion, Zombie Murder, Ethan.
Zombie Bad Guys.
Yeah, so, but this one.
I made that up.
This one, you know, it ruins it when you.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
No, but nobody's going to fact check that.
Jeez.
now, no one definitely was.
So, so this game, this was on Steam sale like a week or two ago, and it was, I don't know, it was like $2, and 4-pack was like $5. And so, grabbed it, like, cool, this looks neat. I saw Ethan already owned it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. So Ethan bought it, and I'm sure he enjoyed it.
Yeah,
because he likes everything he buys, and
well, yeah,
it's pretty much, you know, it is fucking fun. It is Crimson Land. So here's the deal. You and there's a lot of different ways to play this game, but survival wave based is like the main way to do it, and you can play it with up to 4 people at the same time on the interwebs. And zombies come at you. You shoot them. You get experience points, and they drop items. Some of them are like one time use, or you a boost for a little bit, or it's a new weapon. And you have to reload, but you never really run out of ammo. And you know, you can move in one direction, shoot in another. And but it's got the flow of the game where it is why it's fun. It's got a mode called Barricade where it's you literally have these like barricades on either side of you, and the zombies will come from two sides, and you can't really ever defend everything at once. So you got to manage your time, like, you know, before they, you don't want them to break through the fence or whatever. And And you end up, you know, you start out with a pistol and then you end up picking up all kinds of crazy shit. You know, miniguns, flamethrowers, grenade launchers, a whole bunch of different kinds of assault rifles and Uzis and all this stuff. And then as you level up, the little thing pops up on the screen. And you get to pick a new perk. And it's randomized, but you have 10 to choose from each time. And you level up very often. So it'll come up and it'll be like, you click one. It's like you set zombies on fire near you. When there's one, it's like regenerate health, move faster when running backwards. Everyone. I mean, there's like all these like, and there's some weird random ones. But it's just like your games may last, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes or something if you're decent. But they're not like super long. And I'm always looking for these kinds of games because I've been doing this like. Binding of Isaac was one of those games for me where I could go in and play for 5 minutes and die and then be done with it. It's kind of, you know, the roguelike kind of thing. But I used to do this with Crimson Land, and this game is exactly that. And it's so much fun. Graphics are, you know, pretty good. It's solid. Doesn't seem buggy at all. Fucking love it. It's awesome.
And you can play with a buddy.
Yeah.
Or a close friend.
Yeah. Or super gaming best friend.
Yeah.
Isn't it four? It's four player, right?
Yeah, four player co-op. I've played
three
it with
buddies,
two,
three other buddies.
I've played two player, and it was awesome. It was super fun, and you can get the other guy up, you know, kind of Gears of War style. So if the guy goes down, you just walk over and you have to stand over him for, you know, I don't know, like 5 or 6 seconds or something like that, which is can be very difficult to do. Stand in one place for very long when the zombie horde's coming at you. You get trapped in a corner, and then you gotta like roll, like dive out of the, you know, out of the line of fire of these zombies. Literally, some of them actually do shoot at you. Every once in a while, like a boss one comes through. And the boss ones are super tough. You gotta fill them full of bullets. But there's one with the chainsaw, one that's just like really fat. Then there's one that has like a
kill
mini,
you with obesity.
Yeah, but there's one that has a mini gun.
It's like McDonald's. Yeah.
He just throws up like chewed up chicken nuggets on you.
Yeah.
Mm, it's probably like, flesh, I guess.
Yeah, mayonnaise. Yeah.
Oh, ugh. I hate mayonnaise. Gross. Yeah. Anybody have anything to add to that or questions? I'd love to answer questions about Nation Red.
From what I've heard, it sounds a lot like you've described it. Of course, you're the only person who's described it to me. So your description matches your narration very
well.
It's
like a couple bucks. Just go buy it.
Well. Yeah, that's the thing. That's like when I picked it up. I don't remember why or when or, you know, I don't know what motivated me outside of the
you
zombie.
You saw it on Steam. It showed a zombie and then you clicked.
It was close. Yeah, but it was relatively cheap. But yeah, I mean, it is a really good. It's a really good time killer. And I found myself getting somewhat secretly competitive on that until I. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, yeah, the leaderboards are and there's leaderboards for all kinds of, you know, all the different nice. Modes and stuff like that. So you kind of find your mode, whether it's your survival mode, barricade mode and whatnot. So you have your options. But, man, I tell you what, those leaderboards are pretty insane because outside of just the skill level needed to even rank very high, the playing that game for playing one session of that game for 26 minutes to me. Seems like really long because I die really quickly. And there's guys or ladies or robots, whatever, I don't know, maybe even cats or monkeys,
dogs,
who have like these outrageous scores and these outrageous like time limits that they've actually played the game. And I can't wrap my head around it. I mean, you have to be really
trainer.
Awesome. Well, more than likely. I mean, that's usually how it runs, but man,
no one can be better than us. They have to cheat.
Yeah. That's usually how.
Is this the Geometry Wars of zombie killing games?
No, well, I think there's other games that I don't know. No, because so much of this game is like, man, I mean, yeah, a twin stick shooter and a bunch of stuff comes at you, but it's a completely different kind of flow because you've got as you level up, your character becomes actually harder to kill. But you get into this groove, and the danger is always there, and it comes and goes in waves of like literally like. But it's like you know, you'll thin the zombies out, and then you'll run around and collect power ups for a second, and they're just like they start to build up again, and then like a boss comes in and throws a wrench in all your plans, and so you get this like these peaks and valleys, and you know you die when you make, you know, a little mistake, but. But there's something about, because I played Geometry Wars or games like that, that almost have this. It's a little more frantic than this. On a like Geometry Wars is kind of nonstop frantic, where this has a, like some lulls sometimes where you think you start to feel safe. You're like, oh, I can sit here in this corner and just lay waste to shit. I got this great gun, and all of a sudden, you know, oh shit, can't kill that guy, and he's in my face. And so you have to concentrate your fire on him, which means the zombies are disappearing from everywhere, and they're starting to, you know, you get a big ball of them from all directions. You know, you start to get surrounded, and so that part of it is, that's where the game really differs to me. And throw in four player multiplayer, and suddenly it's a whole new ball game.
Huh. No, I was going to say, until you started talking about the lows and highs of it, that I think I made a game with zombies and it kind of ruined some of these games for me. And that it just, the indie game by Ska Studios on just like it distilled that experience just down to its most basic level, that sometimes endless hordes of enemies sometimes can get old to me. But yeah. But if they've kind of managed the pacing a little bit, that that definitely separates it out. So.
Well, the perks do. I mean, just like Josh said, I mean, the perks really do add a different flavor to it.
Cool.
I mean, it can change stuff completely. So
right, it does make your games different, because there are some perks you get, like faster reloads, which makes certain weapons viable that wouldn't normally. So your playthroughs are maybe a little different each time because of the perks, I think.
Cool.
Add some variety to it.
And also, I can't downplay the importance of building up that five minute game library, because you mentioned Binding of Isaac, and that was like the game that reminded me that I need several games like this, but I haven't had one since Binding of Isaac either. So
Trials, Super Meat Boy, and Trials, those are my Xbox go-tos for that kind of game, you know, the quick fix. But yeah, I mean, that to me, that I'm the same way. I'm always like trying to find those games, and this is one of my current fixes.
Cool.
So yeah, good stuff though. Justin, you want to throw out another game?
I can do that. I am. Let's see. I'm gonna combine two, just because they kind of hit the same itch, and it came out around the same, or I played them around the same time. So
I hope you're gonna talk about some MOBAs.
I am going to talk about some MOBAs, some action MOBAs, some MOBA lights, I guess. I don't pretend to know anything about MOBAs other than that the genre is fun to say and has been intimidating to me for a long time. But so during the same weekend, I played a hell of a lot of Awesome Knots and a hell of a lot of Super Monday Night Combat. And let's start with Awesome Knots. This was the Xbox Live Arcade release that looks fucking gorgeous. It's a 2D platformer MOBA that basically took the MOBA formula and made it look like Mega Man to me. That was the appeal to me. Plus, add in some Saturday morning cartoon like music and title screen.
And that intro, the cinematic, is one of the greatest things that's come out of video games in a long time, man. I fucking love that. That is my childhood incarnate.
And they run with it, man. And it's fantastic. I think, again, I don't have experience with the actual MOBAs out there. The Dotas, the League, Heroes of New Earth, Dota 2, none of those. Like
Demigod.
Yeah. I have not broken broken through there. But I think Awesome Knots might be the entry level one for at least people like me, because it kind of distills it down to a much simpler degree, because all of your heroes in this game, your Awesome Knots, you've got, I think it starts off with five classes and they're adding a sixth for DLC. Each one comes with your basic kind of your basic weapon and your defense powers, and then you get two additional powers that you have to choose from. So what I've learned when playing, so it's all online multiplayer battles, two sides, your side has turrets, their side has turrets, and you're trying to protect a drill core. The goal is to destroy the turrets to get to the drill core of the opposing team, and all the while, these little robots are running back and forth across the map and helping your side destroy the other side.
It's very pure MOBA.
Yes, exactly.
If you played any of those other games, you know exactly how this plays out.
And there's so there's only two, at least all the maps I've played, there's only two paths to go through. The turrets do not heal themselves, so once they're gone, they're gone. And like I said, each hero really only has two skills you need to pay attention to. And I started to understand my problem was that I like to just go out there, find an opposing mercenary, an opposing awesome knot, and try to kill him one-on-one every time. And so I quickly learned that you have to – the trick with MOBAs is stay alive, because every time you die, you give the opposing team extra money basically to buy – to upgrade everything. And the faster you can upgrade or level up your character, the quicker you have access to stronger abilities. And I also learned that you need to focus on one of those abilities first, get it strong before leveling up the other one, and just kind of play to your class's strengths. And then one of the final battles that I played, my most successful one, was I actually played the healing class in the game and played it correctly. And I was like the fan favorite. I got like 3 friend requests at the end of the game because everybody loves the healer. But it was
– it's hard to find a good medic.
I think it – yeah, it is. I think it broke down some walls for me. So if you've ever been intimidated by this genre, the game's a hell of a lot of fun to play, and it's pretty simple and approachable. And but also it might be – it supports split-screen play, and it's 3-on-3 battles, and I think it just might be one of those – it has its own niche within Xbox Live Arcade that, you know, throw it up there with Castle Crashers and other quick multiplayer games that you can jump into, and this could be a fun fun game for small groups of friends.
Ethan or Tito, have you played this at all or seen it?
I have not played it. Yeah, I haven't. It looked pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. I played the demo. And
oh, you're one of those.
So, yeah, you know, well, all the XBLA games, they all have a demo. Like, it's, you know, they have to have, you know, some kind of demo. So, and I don't think I've talked to you about this, Justin, since you got it. But it's got a kind of unique demo. You have a time, like, so you have the practice mode. You only have access to one hero, the cowboy.
The Yosemite Sam, basically.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And who is pretty cool. He's his special thing where he like has the bull that he summons that charges and knocks dudes back is pretty sweet.
I just saw like a ceramic bowl. Like that was his special power up, was like a bowl. Like bowl. You like have cereal.
Bowl.
Yeah.
But bowl.
Bowl.
Isn't that how else pronounce that? Bull, yeah, like Night Court. Bull.
Yeah, I actually thought the same thing as Dito. Bull. I just imagine he was like, hey, you could put things in here if you guys want to. Like, he's just a really helpful guy. Doesn't really help with battle.
It's a spinning bowl. It's really it's a carnival ride.
Hey, while you guys are fighting, you could put your change in my
it's
bowl
like a teacup.
So you don't lose it.
Do you think Patrick Swayze came up behind him as a ghost and helped him
oh, boo.
Make that bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
We've already used that reference for the duration of the series.
I don't know. You can never have enough Swayze references. Everybody loves a Swayze. I'm crazy for Swayze. I don't know what you guys. Keep doing that while I talk.
You guys can see what Josh is doing while that music is playing. It's clearly he's seen that scene too many times as a child for certain reasons. Every, you know, Friday night at 2 a.m.
I pretty much have a Demi Moore's haircut. Okay. So in the dim.
Facial hair.
Yeah.
Oh. G.I. Jane. So. In the demo, you can only play as this one guy, but you get unlimited time in the practice mode, which is the offline mode. It's 3-on-3. It's just like the online, but it's bots. And you get 30 minutes of time to play the full online experience. Again, with just the one character, but you get to play online with everyone else for 30 minutes. And once the time – and, you know, it counts down. You play a five-minute game. It takes 5 minutes off the clock. When it gets down to zero, you can't do that anymore. But you can still do the practice, the offline mode, all you want. Like, that's pretty fantastic. So there's like you have no excuse to not at least download the demo of this game. But yeah. So for me, it was like, oh, okay, this is pretty awesome. You know, it's a MOBA, and I like, you know, the control style is just side scrolling shooter. You know, it's Contra pretty much, or Mega Man or whatever. But it's exactly the same. It's like you could play this game, and then you could go play Dota or League of Legends, you would struggle with the caliber of players in those things because it's pretty easy to get crushed. But you would understand the fundamentals.
Yes.
You need to learn the characters. You need to learn, you know, the map or whatever. But you would understand the way the game plays out, exactly what is going on. You would get it because fundamentally it is exactly the same, you know, kind of game as all the other MOBAs are. And I think that is awesome because there's all these people going to be playing it that would have never been exposed to a MOBA. And I'm just going to say MOBA a few more times if you guys are okay with it.
But I also think, MOBA. I guess there's a little bit more to the story as far as the publisher of the game went under, like literally 2 days before the game was supposed to be released. Yeah. And so there's a lot of questions leading up to the release that whether or not the game was actually going to come out. And it's always...
Why did that come out?
Like, I don't know.
How did that... Is that like, Microsoft going,
I don't know. I don't know the story, but somewhere. I'm glad it did come out, and I'm really curious to see how well it did compared to, because it was up against one of the other promoted games for the Live Arcade Next or whatever that promotion is that Microsoft was putting on.
Obviously, not very well promoted. Whatever that one.
It was up against Fable Heroes. I think it came out the same day.
Oh yeah,
way to prove me wrong. Awesome. Okay,
and so I'm curious to see how it actually did because just the quality level of it is fantastic and
well made.
So I hope it gets the support that it deserves.
Ethan, you've got to download this just to see the intro. Just
I don't go have to do YouTube anything.
Watch the damn intro video.
I actually just did. I felt like I needed to understand why you guys are so excited because everybody sounds pretty excited about this, even over a demo. And I don't think demos are all that exciting, but Josh, that excited you. You know, this seems like a game we could all play together.
Yeah,
it is
definitely.
Yep. Yeah,
especially because I'm not any good at it. So
and you can combine on offline and online players, so split screen online together.
Oh, like
which doesn't
room.
Seem to happen a lot with Xbox games. As much as it maybe does with like a PlayStation.
No, yeah, I like that.
So find me on Awesome Knots. I need friends to play that game.
I'll
do Super Monday Night Combat another time though. So,
okay,
I'm still learning the ropes even more on that one. So,
yeah, I wouldn't have anything to add anyways because I sat in a queue for like 45 minutes. Didn't actually get to play that game.
Yeah,
obviously something was wrong. I don't think that's normal at all, but I played the practice mode. Thought like, oh, cool, it's Monday Night Combat with some more stuff. And then I didn't get to play it, so boo. Try that again another time. Dito.
Yes.
What else you got, man?
Well, like I said, I always stick to kind of a core set of games. And that's just kind of how I've always been. You know, I started with StarCraft, original StarCraft.
Then you right now representing... like a ton of gamers out there.
Right.
I mean, like, cause that is how probably most people, like average gamer, I probably, you know,
yeah,
that's their pattern.
Yeah. And it depends. Cause like, you know, you like the co-op stuff and you have like a lot of fast repetition and I'm a little bit cheaper. I like to get maximum value. I played Counter-Strike in high school and stuff like that for hundreds of hours. Well, okay. Let's be realistic. Like, thousands of hours, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. So I played a lot, and so I just pick up a game, and if I really like it, and it seems like it has a lot of replay value, I play it. So I've been playing Battlefield 3 as my kind of go-to game. I am trying different things though, because there's some things I've never really used, like the shotguns, for instance. Never really use a shotgun because I like to put out more bullets and support the bullet making industry. I really like suppressing. Things if they could make a Chinese government like fighting Facebook game, I would play the hell out of it. I would play so much of it.
Ethan, you need to make commercial for the struggling industry of video game bullet making.
Yeah. Oh no, I support that cause 100%. I can get behind that.
Yeah,
definitely get behind that.
Yeah. So yeah. So I mean, I've been trying to go, you know, learn, level up stuff that I haven't used. And I, at this point, like, I've, all the classes are all the way max. So now I'm trying to get into the air, which is really kind of tough because, you know, you have to wait for a while sometimes. And usually as you're about to get into a helicopter, somebody else gets into a helicopter.
Yeah. That guy's usually me. That's usually right. Me. I usually crash it like in 2 seconds. Like, oh, right. You shouldn't let me do this. See you in a second. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. That guy. Thanks for being that guy.
Don't be
just trying to be a, yeah. Just trying to be a hero. Just trying to be a hero. You see a helicopter, you're like, "Oh shit, what are you going to do? What would you
crash
do?"
Crash it into the ground.
Well,
what would Rambo do? He would
exactly
fly the fucking helicopter.
Now, here's the thing. If this makes you feel any better, I jump out at the last minute and I try to crash it into an enemy. Now, I know that I could just
with
shoot
passengers.
Them. Yeah, well, you know, I shouldn't get on. If
he should have known better.
Running towards a helicopter, flailing his arms. Okay, you better use that as a cue not to get into that vehicle.
Can come
you
on.
Walk away. Do your own thing.
His yeah. username is "Let's crash this shit." You think they would know?
Yeah. Well, so the problem I have with that is, remember how I was supporting the bullet industry? When you use helicopters as bullets, first of all, it's enormously expensive to taxpayers. But second of all, you're using bullets that aren't bullets, right? So that's not helping anybody. So if you could,
it's kind of homebrew.
Not be that guy.
It's kind of a homebrew bullet.
What if I had a gun that shot helicopters? I'm just saying. Would it
whoa!
Be? Is it the idea of me crashing or the idea that I'm using a helicopter as a bullet that strikes you wrong?
I think just the crashing part. If I were crashing it as a bullet, that would be okay because you know most of the stuff I do in there makes sense in my mind. So if I were crashing
like
the bullet,
some of our
obviously
excursions, right, like oh yeah that, going this way is probably we Dino and I play online together
yes.
a lot
yes we do
but so
sounds
we'll,
like
we'll get in a Jeep
yeah
and we'll go driving and sometimes if Dino's driving I'll question like the direction he takes
yeah
very roundabout way sometimes yeah. to get to the objectives
usually I'm looking for big ramps
yeah
because I realize it's not really a mechanic of the
that's
game
what justifies
the one to build
excursions.
It in but I always just try and see
pretty sure you guys should play the 50 cent game then
yeah we probably would have a good time
looking for some big ramps
remember that time we ramped over that tank
yes
oh my god that was
so good
that was the best
right? It was so good yeah we've had several good like we've landed jeeps and buildings and stuff like that like it's been pretty good so before we got sidetracked so yeah so I do that I'm trying to play different things so I'm doing the air and when assholes don't steal the vehicle and crash it
specifically helicopters though right or are you trying to the jets too
no I'm trying jets too
I haven't seen you in a jet
yep I do try well that's because usually I crash very quickly and not because I'm
so
using
don't
them.
Do it when people are watching them know you
right yes exactly I'm like okay sort by players all empty good fast vehicle respawn good okay so
the empty practice server
right so I go in there and I play around you know and get some flight simulator time in but yeah, I still haven't quite figured out the mechanics because I always crash. It's kind of like how you find waves in other games, like fight waves. Eventually, you get beat. You can't help it. You're gonna get beat. Well, that's me flying a chopper or a jet. So I'm playing with the Xbox controller now, which makes it a lot better because I would always just get into some angle where I'm like upside down and halfway diagonal, and you just can't recover. Like, and I saw it in Top Gun, so I'm not like the like same thing happened to him. You know, he's going down. He couldn't get you know the spin. Fixed or whatever.
It's like the rudder is the easy one,
right?
When you're using a mouse and keyboard for the PC version, like we play, the you know left and right to actually you know like your stick. What would be your stick in the helicopter on the what would that be the X axis?
Yeah.
That is mouse, like moving your mouse left and right, which is not intuitive at all. So when you do get in those, like I'm okay because I'll just keep it pretty much low. I don't dip left and right.
Right.
You know, and but I'm the same way. As soon as I get all gollywampus, I dump it sideways.
Yeah, yeah. And there's just no recovery at that point.
Nope.
Because I mean, the fact that I got myself in that situation in the first place because I didn't know how to fly. Typically means that I sure as hell don't know how to get myself out of it. So I go in circles, like I do big circles, and you know.
But there's something that happens to us a lot when we're riding in other people's Blackhawks in that game, is that people will do that thing where they dump it sideways. This apparently everybody has this problem, yeah. But they'll crash on the ground, but it won't explode, so it'll be sideways on the ground. And so what the game does in these situations, anytime a vehicle is like abandoned or it's like up against something it shouldn't be. It doesn't blow up immediately. It'll take damage over time. And so somebody will crash it. Inevitably, everyone that was in the thing jumps out and someone starts repairing it while everyone else is trying to, you know, say, let me have a try getting this thing upright. Like everyone's like trying to get upright. And so the thing is laying on its side and it's doing like the little breakdance thing where you do the sideways running on the ground and just spin around in circles. And it'll just like it'll go. just driving around sideways in these giant loops on the countryside, you know, and from it, if you've ever seen this from a distance happening, man, it is funny as shit. And it's like, oh, well, I have to shoot all that, you know? So you're just like, you get to blow up a lot of stuff if you're on the other team. But yeah, flying.
It's good. Yeah. So, you know, it's a work in progress. But I have actually managed to, you know, kind of keep the chopper in a steady like position, not necessarily not going forward or backward, but kind of in just kind of a hovering position. But, you know,
step one.
Right. Exactly. And that's step one. And my problem is that once I get to step one, I immediately realize that I could make it to probably step 15 because it was so hard to get to step one. Step 15 probably won't be that bad. It's just a matter of getting over that first step. Right. So then, like, you know, one of the maps you can there's a site and then you go through a tunnel on the other side. There's another site.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, once I got in the position where I could hover and just kind of float there. And
so you think you're going to try to go through the tunnel?
That's what I tried. I did get into the tunnel, though. And that was the big part. And it wasn't necessarily that I crashed or I did something wrong, but I forgot that that's usually where the tanks go. And there was an enemy tank who obviously spotted me. 20 feet in front of him with no barricades or anything between us. I was pretty much there in his face. Like, I sent him a card saying, hey, what's up, man? What are you doing tonight? And then, yeah, so I took a tank shell. And I think step 15 went okay for the first 2 seconds.
Did you see Live Free or Die Hard?
Yeah, I did.
I would never put a helicopter anywhere near a tunnel.
Right.
I would just assume someone's going to ramp a Jeep into it.
Yes. Well, I think that's probably paranoid.
Don't be a coward. That's just cowardice.
Yeah.
Well, what if I see the helicopter and I try to ramp the Jeep? I would get in the Jeep to ramp into the helicopter. I just wouldn't put the helicopter, you know. Right. So I'm like, 50% pussy? Like, what's that mean?
It means you're not Bruce Willis, man. You got to be.
No, that's the thing. I would ramp the Jeep into the helicopter. I just would not risk my helicopter if I was.
Yeah. Well, it seems kind of like, well, there's probably a better way you can do it. You know, the helicopters aren't made for that. Maybe you land. But then again, the whole point of Live Free or Die Hard is, action sequences. So
yeah. Well, there's okay. Yeah,
you just don't respect Jeeps. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I don't. Jeeps can. I don't care how many Jeeps get blown up, you know, in about game of Battlefield. Like, Jeep industry is doing just fine because they obviously the team keeps rebuying them.
Right.
You know, because it blows up and then like 10 seconds later there's a new Jeep. Like, well, they're doing okay.
Yeah,
I don't worry about the budget. Taxpayers are covering that.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. Jeeps are cheap, man. Real cheap.
Yeah, cheap.
It's almost like we don't even pay anything for them. You know.
Yeah.
They show up. It's really good.
It's cool though that you're finding, you know, like you could play a game for so many hours and then find new ways to get fun out of it. Right. I mean, about the fun in a game like that is out of the you know, every map, every play session is its own contained game that has its, you know, a different outcome and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So that's always fun. But just to be able to go, well, it's deep enough to go, well, I'm going to start using this other gun I've never used. And that, and then 10 hours later, you've unlocked like 10 accessories for that gun.
Right,
you know, that's cool, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. And I'm keeping track of my, hours played versus the cost of the game. Trying to get it to, like, you know, I don't know, maybe 18 tenths of a penny per like full day played. That's when I consider myself to have actually gotten, okay, I got my return on investment. So, obviously my like return on investment for like things like dates with girls and all that stuff starts to look a little bit ridiculous. So that you just stay at home and play games. It's the best bargain. Just trying to be economical. You know, it's not cause I sit at home and I got a monitor tan and I'm trolling. I mean, it's not like that. I'm
not like, socially awkward. I'm financially responsible.
I'm a student of economics. I'm fiscally like responsible. Yeah. So Battlefield 3 is good though. It's very good.
I think we stumbled onto some genius here.
Yeah, maybe so. Oh man! All right, what else? What else we got here? Who have I missed?
Yourself.
Oh my God, guys! You guys want to talk about Super Meat Boy for a minute?
What is that?
Well, yeah. What is that? Oh my God. Okay, so a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I have terrible sense of time. We had a little challenge. We were giving away some tickets to Indie Game, the movie, which is showing on May 23rd.
That is correct.
And here in Indianapolis, our hometown here. So we're giving away some tickets. And what we did for it was we had this little challenge. It was we were going to play Super Meat Boy. You had to guess how we were going to do the chapter one Dark Worlds. So they're like the hard versions of the first 20 levels. And it was, you guess how many times we die. And I ended up being the one that played through these levels. So it was like, you know, people were guessing like 1,000 deaths. I mean, it was,
you know, we had 3 trillion was the high.
3 trillion. So, this is a game, Dino, I don't think you've seen this game.
Oh, yeah, I have not.
You played N Plus, though, I think.
Yes, I have.
Okay, it's like that, where you've got short levels, you got to jump, use the physics of the game, you know, you're jumping off walls and stuff, avoiding traps, and you got to get to you'd normally get to the door. This is, you're getting to your girl. Meat Boy, he's a little boy without skin, and his girl gets kidnapped by Dr. Fetus.
It's terrible.
It's basically like a little fetal Monopoly Man Krang.
Yeah, that's actually
we'll take it.
And you know, you die, you hit a button, and boom, you respawn. And at the end of a level, you may have died like 50 times trying to get to the end of a level. When you finally beat it, it shows you the replay of all of your Meat Boys at once, and it's just this. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
A lot of meat. Yeah, and it's super bloody. Like, you hit like a spinning saw blade and it's covered in blood and, you know, meat's squirting. So anyways,
such like guttural imagery that you're like,
yeah,
meat,
yeah,
pulp.
So most of us have played this game before. Ethan, had you played it before?
Yeah. I played quite a bit of it.
And, you know, Justin had, and I'd played a bunch of it. Those kind of experiences, trials is the same way. It can be very frustrating. So you pick it up, maybe you have a good day, and you play for an hour. If you're having a bad day, you quit as soon as the rage builds to the point where you think you're going to break something. I, however, was forced to
to stick through it.
And the more deaths, you know, the more entertainment. I'm trying to not die, though, because I want to like prove everyone wrong.
Oh
my God, holy shit. This was... I mean, there were moments where, like, I wasn't mad, but I wanted to cry.
You were mad.
I got mad. Yeah, I got mad at Ethan a few times. Yeah. I thought for a second.
You're projecting.
I might bite him. Yeah.
Well, I thought he was going to hit me, or maybe slap me or pinch me. One of those.
Hug you.
I might bite his face.
Yeah, he wasn't going to hug me. I wasn't ever worried about that.
There was one level I died like 56 times or something.
Oh, man.
50, there you go. 58 times. And I was feeling defeated.
I was going to say, I'm not going to lie. That was the point when I was like, oh, shit. Like, he's going to lose it. Like, he's literally going to freaking throw his control, punch his computer screen. We're going to be sitting there and you know, trying to eat lasagna and just, I just imagine this.
He did kind of ruin our dinner. Into. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Asshole.
It took him so long to beat that level in our lasagna. Kylie actually had some foresight because she knew you probably weren't very good at that game, and she actually kept it nice and warm for us, so that was awesome.
that was very nice. Right? Yeah. That is not the way to play that kind of game. You don't ever want to be in that position. Like, don't do a... If you're doing like it... Say you're going to organize a charity marathon or something, and you're like, oh, we're going to play 24 hours of Super Meat Boy. No.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Terrible idea.
Hold on. I got to go make a phone call.
See, that's a great game. Not for everyone. I mean, definitely not for everyone. I like challenge to my games. I think some games are a little bit too easy. But, man, you get to a point in that game where you're just like, what am I doing? Why am I even doing this? I have the same feeling with that game as I do with some games where you just – like grind the whole time, you know, but this is a different kind of grind. It's like a psychological grind. And again, you get to a breaking point. I mean, I don't usually throw controls or get that frustrated with games. But this game, I recall tossing my control to the ground and having my wife look at me like, you've got to be fucking kidding me, you know? So, I mean, this is definitely that kind of game.
I mean,
which is why I put the game down for so damn long, but I was inspired by Josh's performance, I think, because I immediately, well, not immediately, this when I finally sat down to play games after our Super Meat Boy challenge, I was intrigued. I wanted to see how I could do on the Dark World levels, because I really hadn't pushed myself to that point. So I kind of set myself a goal this weekend and tried to get all the bandages in the first world, which is both light and dark. And I got all the ones I could find, but there are some hidden ones that I couldn't get through. But
did you have any real struggle levels like I did?
Well, that was the thing. I remembered your tactics, so I can't say that I wouldn't have struggled.
Very kind of you.
But yeah, there were the two levels you really struggled with. I think I got both of them on like the third or fourth try. So it was, but I also went in like mentally prepared for them. So there's something to be said too for live gaming with an audience in front of two jackasses heckling you. So because
it was fun at times, and then other times it would just. It just felt mean.
You motherfuckers were playing in front of the fucking developer. You know what I mean? Whoop. Big whoop. 5 minutes into.
Well, in your defense, you weren't really playing.
You know what, Ethan? I want to actually talk about that for a second. Real quick, though, I want to say if you can go, you can actually watch us. By the time this goes up, we'll have a YouTube video up. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we have we're starting to put up some videos on YouTube of some of our live gaming things and maybe even some non-live stuff, but some good high quality video and audio. You know, we got 720p stuff, so production values have gone up exponentially. very recently. So this will be like kind of the first of those you'll see on YouTube. You can see archives of all this stuff on Twitch, and those are actually pretty good quality too. But you can see the entire Super Meat Boy challenge and all of the ups and the downs and the
mostly
triumphs
downs.
And the sorrows.
Yeah.
There was a high five there towards the end. So there were a few moments.
So you'll get to hear my unintelligible blathering, some whimpering, there's some exclamation in there. There were a few times where I actually pulled off some nice moves, so we did celebrate, you know. But we enjoyed it. Whether or not you will, I guess you be the judge, though. But please go check it out. That's YouTube.com/HorribleNight.
HorribleNight TV.
HorribleNight TV. So yeah, okay, Ethan. You want to? Can we talk about Valley Without Wind for a second? Because So we did a little a Game Curious of Valley Without Wind. It's a game. It's just got released on Steam recently. It's kind of a Metroidvania adventure. ActRaiser populist thing. Oh no, yeah, it's got this weird. It's got like a city building thing. There's almost a little Chrono Trigger something too, right? Where like you're building up to, I think you can maybe go to the end early, or you build up your forces. You could be prepared for it or not be prepared for the end of the game.
Yeah, a lot of balancing. It's a different kind of balancing. You know, it's almost like if you prepare too much, that's bad. If you don't prepare enough, that's bad. You have to find a happy medium for preparedness.
Yeah, so this is it was weird. Like when we sit down, Ethan is playing, Justin and I are, you know, doing commentary. Ethan had played like 5 minutes of the game.
Oh yeah. Maybe an hour, but maybe some of that hour is just kind of reading through stuff and trying to get acclimated to it. But yeah, no, I was by no means an expert.
Okay, well, I didn't know you played an hour. That seemed okay. Wow. You're really bad at that. No,
there's a lot to read in that game. I spent probably of that hour 45 minutes just going over stuff because and if you watch the video, you know, before the video, if the cameras were going the whole time, you would have heard me say, "Hey guys, FYI, you know, complicated game. Not really familiar with it. Played about an hour, but you know, not familiar with it." And then as soon as we started, You know, I mean, it's almost like you've never played this game that well. And I just, oh my God.
I can't believe we turned on you like that.
You were dickier than me than I was to Josh. I just want to say. You hurt my feelings. My feelings on the inside.
No, I
was.
Outside. Yeah.
I don't feel like I pressed the bar at all. So we'll see where we get to with later videos.
Yeah. So, okay. So Ethan is, he's playing this game. And we were really struggling to figure out exactly what the hell this game was about.
Well, it wasn't Call of Duty, so you guys really struggled to wrap your heads around it, you know. Wasn't placed on a silver platter for you.
Well, okay. So the main problem with the game was very early on, there isn't a whole lot of explanation. And there are some key things that you kind of need to know in order to have a good time with the game.
And not like Minecraft stuff where you can explore and have fun while you're trying to find this stuff.
No, literally, it's like
floundering, you're drowning, and
yes.
You don't realize that the object in front of you is a life preserver. It's like, it's so exactly. Cool. You have no idea what you're doing.
And granted, this wasn't exactly the scenario where you could maybe soak in those details at best. You know, when Ethan's playing and he's got people heckling him over his shoulder. However, Ethan had played the game for an hour already before and did not, didn't come to those conclusions himself. So, like, I feel like the game, it doesn't do a great job with some of that setup stuff. But then, we're in this, you know, Ethan's playing, we're struggling. Then one of the developers of the game, or the developer of the game, I don't know how many people worked on this, but was this a one-man show?
I don't think that's multiple, but small team.
Okay, somebody from the developer shows up on the Twitch stream in the chat. And very, very nice fellow.
Yes.
Did not pile on to Ethan. Yes, so much patience. Like, instead of going like, you know, I mean, not that people, it would be unprofessional to do this, but if I was game developer, I'd be like, dude, can you read?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you can't, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of you because there are people that can't read. But hey, if you can read, maybe you should friggin' read the screen.
Do you have trouble with your words?
Yeah, right. But so this dude comes in, and everyone that buys this game should get their own little 20-minute tutorial session with the developer because it made all the difference in the world, right? Ethan, you can speak to this.
Sounds reasonable. Well, I mean, definitely when he said, hey, there's a button that'll actually open up a menu that will actually guide you through the game. I mean, there's an in-game guide, so I don't know if you necessarily need a developer unless you want that developer just to point out the hotkeys, you know, like, oh, hey, there's hotkeys, like in every game. But for some reason, I was paralyzed by,
it's a combination of playing live and not wanting to go through all the menus and take the time to read through the stuff, because I think all we missed. But
yeah, that's, I mean, we kind of talked about that. In terms of live streaming, there's a halfway, and there's an aspect of being informative, but also being entertaining. And a game like this, to be informative, you really need like a 2-hour session with the people watching. Like, okay, guys, now this is the precursor.
Yeah.
We're explain everything. Then we're going to play. Then we're going to stop for about half an hour and explain what we just played and then go from there. I mean, that's like the only way I can imagine.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's not how we roll.
Yeah, and there's no way.
It's not how we roll.
I would have the attention span to do anything like that, or two, anybody would necessarily. I mean, I think there's a group that would want to do that, but this is not the game to live stream. Maybe that's in short. This is not the game to live stream because there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot, Metroidvania, whatnot. Okay, that's an aspect of it, but then there's all this other stuff. It's this huge pie, and the one slice that you saw is probably the worst slice. I think maybe because I was playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if someone more like, intelligent.
You are the worst slice of pie.
Well, you're running around in this complete darkness, and we didn't know that you had a light spell that you could equip this thing or whatever, and have like, and you could see. Like, well, it just wasn't there. Like, you know, so
it was like just a dark. Yeah, just
those are the struggles lost. That we had, right? And it wasn't just Ethan. I mean, it's not like Justin and I were sitting there, you know, thinking like.
No,
he hasn't figured out how to use a flashlight. No, we're gonna like
I had no idea what's going
like,
on.
What the hell do you? You know, I don't know. Yeah, but it was
enlightening.
It was, yeah. And by the end of it, I was way more up on the game than when we started.
Yeah, I was actually, and I was excited to try it out like cooperatively because they push multiplayer in the game.
Yeah, and, right. It's got like 4-player co-op.
But yeah, if sometimes, you know, if we're going to be the guys out there that sometimes show you how not to play a game, we're happy to do that too.
Yeah, you know, there's something to be learned from that video that we did.
Yeah.
Let us know
what it was.
Let us, and you know what, and maybe you're like us. Maybe you would have some of the same struggles. You know, maybe you play like an idiot, or, you know, maybe you
maybe you can't read.
Really drunk, or you can't read. You know, but you know, watch our video and you'll go through all those trials, you know, along with us. And when you come out the other side, you'll have be able to have fun with the game. Yeah.
By the way, when he says you, he's talking to Tom McKinley of Northeastern Idaho. So that's who the you is. The rest of you guys, it's not for you.
I think Tom has written into the show before. Yeah. Nice guy.
He is a really nice guy.
He's swell. Swell fellow. Mm-hmm. Has anybody played any of the games since then?
No.
I haven't had time myself, but I plan on it. We need to schedule some co-op.
We've been bouncing between a lot of games lately. So
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a heavy... Man, I feel like there's just so many games that are kind of on the docket right now. So I did, but I think that we should do it together, like as a group of friends.
Agreed. I definitely wanted to go in multiplayer. So
yeah,
we'll do that. We'll check that out. All right. Well, we're out of time for what are you playing? So thanks though. Those were some really nice game experiences there that you guys shared.
A lot of value.
I really appreciate that.
You bring it out well, Josh.
Oh, thank you very much. Justin Lacey, would you like to update us on what's going on HorribleNight.com this week?
I could definitely do that. Next week, we're continuing to kind of build up our indie game coverage, and the Horrible Show will be live. We're going to be doing our live show next Tuesday, May 22nd at 8:30 p.m. On Twitch.tv/HorribleNight, and we will be discussing indie games and a lot of the games featured in Indie Game the Movie, which has its Indianapolis one night screening on Wednesday, May 23rd, so the day after the live show. And the Horrible Night crew will be showing up around 6 o'clock for a little bit of a meet and greet before the screening. So if you're in the area, we definitely like to meet up with you before the show and see what you think about the screening. And we will be doing one more ticket giveaway between now and then. So be on the lookout for that on the site. And just if you've been a fan of our podcast, our Cursed Checkpoints, we're kind of retooling the series a bit as far as trying to get our topic selection down pat, but I definitely still want to reiterate that we are always looking for input from our audience. So the best way to kind of reach us is either through rating and reviewing on iTunes or hitting us up on our contact form. If you have ideas, especially for the Cursed Checkpoint series, it's a topical podcast and we're looking to hit the topics that you want to hear about. So more Cursed Checkpoints are coming your way in the near future. That's it for me.
Awesome. Exciting stuff. I'm really pumped for the indie game movie. I mean, that's going to be awesome.
I'm still just thrilled that we got it to Indianapolis. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And hopefully some people come out because I'd like to meet some listeners. Yep. Readers.
Yeah. It's going
to
be the Indianapolis Museum of Art. So be down.
Beautiful museum. A lot of good art.
It actually is. Pretty nice.
I know art. So. If you come to meet,
he's also from Northern Idaho.
Yeah,
I'll take you through my favorite art exhibits. Exhibits or exhibitions? There's a difference between those two.
You said exhibit, and I thought of
yep.
Exhibit.
I thought of the rapper.
Yes.
Yo, dog. Check out my arts.
Hard to like art inside your indie movies. All right. So thanks, Justin. Let's wrap the show up with our threesomes of the week. Dito. We're not actually going to have a threesome.
This is bullshit.
Yeah. I saw your face. I saw your face when I said it. You had it kind of lit up. You thought it was Christmas.
Foursome?
It's first show. He doesn't know.
I know. That's why I explained it. He got a little excited and nervous.
Be gentle, Josh.
This is where we talk about three off-topic things that have had our attention this week, or this past 2 weeks. Ethan, you want to kick this off?
I would love to kick it off.
Great. Gosh, then go ahead. Please kick it off.
Go ahead with it. So last night I watched a television show on Discovery Channel called, well, I don't know what it was actually called because I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, but what it amounted to was whether or not we would survive an alien invasion. And I thought for a second, like, am I on the Sci-Fi Channel? Because, I mean, you know, the spaceships looked stupid, and the people that were on it looked like actors. And then I realized they were actual legitimate, like, experts in certain fields that were analyzing whether or not we would be able to defend ourselves in some sort of an alien invasion. And the we're fucked. I mean, these guys.
Well, who sets the parameters for this? Like,
that's the thing. Like,
this is extremely hypothetical.
Well, yeah, but they're experts. Let me tell you, when you're an expert in a field, you know what's going on.
Oh my god!
You just knew what I knew about mech warriors, man. It would blow your mind. You know these. You set the parameters. You know.
But they're not. I mean, this is. They're not even these guys. The things that we're saying, like by the end of the show, here's how we're winning. Okay, so not only have we been hit with an EMP blast. Okay, all of our electronics are out. Not only have we been, you know, we're being systematically wiped out by things like giant tidal waves and horrible, horrible viruses that make the, you know, the Black Plague look like freaking common flu. In the very end of it, we decide to hit the ships with steam-powered earth guns.
What?
Yes.
Who fucking came up with this?
Trains?
Supposedly, there's a real scientist who discovered that by blowing, by setting off nuclear bombs underneath the earth and putting a bunch of water above them and then putting, like, junk, like, in that hole and plugging it up, you can shoot, like, trash into space, which apparently is the only way that we will survive. Forget Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I was gonna say, no, let's just
not a factor.
Cryo freeze Jeff Goldblum now, and we should be all right.
Oh, you should see my face drop when I realized that they weren't going to transition into that scene with Jeff Goldblum going, yes, yes, without the oops, and Will Smith figuring out, turning that little note card upside down and flying up there like fucking heroes. No, wasn't even mentioned.
Why don't we just build like a 1,000-foot-tall trebuchet and just launch the shit that way? We could just fling dumpsters.
A thousand-foot trebuchet going to bank the existence of the world and human species on a 1,000-foot-tall trebuchet?
Well, apparently fucking ocean steam trash launchers can do it. Like, what?
I think
I'm just saying, like, you can come up with some pretty stupid shit, and yeah. I don't see how this guy's stupid shit was better than anyone else's stupid shit.
Well, he was an expert, Josh. I mean, he was an expert.
What? Does he not?
An expert is somebody who knows more than everyone else in a field. There's only one person in his field, obviously, so, yeah, he's the expert.
And he still knows
a guy that would talk in front of this camera about the stuff.
Yeah, right.
I just imagine the aliens being like, we are so fucking these guys up. They have no – what's – oh, my God. We just lost. They hit us with trash.
Steam-powered trash?
Steam guns? How's that happen?
Thanks for that.
Well, like,
they're going to get down here and melt in the rain anyway, so it doesn't fucking matter.
I don't know.
What is it? So, like, what if they bring the Death Star? We're going to fling trash at it?
The ship that they were in was was as big, if not bigger, than the Death Star. I mean, it's not like they're in a little dinky, like, ship. Like, it was huge. It was, it was as big as the moon, it seemed. And but our trash, and there's a lot of trash on the Earth. I mean, and so maybe this pollution thing isn't a horrible.
So then we're gonna have to construct Mega Maid after we win the battle to go up all the fucking trash.
Oh, I mean, the Earth was ruined after we used this gun. Goodness. Like, there was trash all over the place and had that horrible liquid trash smell. But we won. They left
first.
Whole thing was, it's like convincing the aliens not to spend so much money on fighting us. Like that was at the end of the show. It was like, we're not gonna win. We're not going to win, but we're gonna deter them from fighting us because they're going to spend way too many resources on that, as if they have, like, resources.
Too many space bucks.
Yeah. No, they're like, getting a little bit expensive.
Man,
we've got
that
trash
will smell. You know how bad trash smells when it gets hot?
Yeah.
There's no atmosphere to protect it from the sun. Yeah. It's going to be, like, just blasted with solar flares.
Space is going to be
stinky.
If you really sit down and think about the solution that this expert made, it's actually pretty elegant, because you are using a very green energy, steam, to blow up trash, which is accumulating and building up in stockpiles and, you know, destroying the world. And you're building that up, and then you shoot it to kill your enemies. You know, the Indians didn't even
efficient.
The Native Americans. I'm sorry to all our Native American listeners.
It's okay.
is that one of them?
He's one thirty-second.
Yeah. You know, you're using trash to fight your enemies with steam. I think it's a pretty elegant solution.
It catches them off guard. Well, just so you all know, not only was it one expert, but there was a group of experts ranging in from all kinds of different fields. I won't even get into the Dan Aykroyd documentary about UFOs. It does exist. So, check this show out if you want to literally learn nothing about, you know, protecting yourself in an alien invasion. But Michelle Rodriguez was the host. Not a very good host.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. You might as well skip your other two because there's no way they're going to be better than that.
Probably not. I'll probably go ahead and say them anyway, though.
Go ahead.
Thanks.
You should get Gutenberged.
So I had KFC this weekend, and KFC's horrible. I had horrible diarrhea. Don't usually talk about food, but this is just kind of a shout out to KFC.
He normally does talk about shit.
Yeah, I do normally. But KFC is one of those foods that you eat and you think, you're sick, you're ill, you're not going to do it again. But then 2 months later, and it's always 2 months, you're like, oh, I forgot how badly that made me feel, and it does. And it was kind of my Mother's Day gift to my mom, us eating KFC.
KFC diarrhea?
That's what we had. No, the diarrhea wasn't the gift. I actually felt pretty bad about that. That kind of basically, you know, kept me at an even number because KFC, it's a plus. The diarrhea, probably a minus. Probably two minuses, actually. So all of our listeners out there that, you know, are hungry maybe right now, hopefully you're not anymore. So stay away from KFC. It's really all I had on that.
Draws me back.
Oh, it's the extra crispy, man. There's something about it. It
pushes you away, too.
I get the little – the double patties. You get they're basically like little chicken patties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, little fillets.
Yeah, little fillets. I'll get the box that has two of those, and then I'll get some, like, you know, the mashed potatoes and gravy, and I'll just dip everything in the gravy, mashed potatoes. I just take the fillet and just scoop up mashed potatoes and gravy and just shovel it into my mouth.
That's the combo bowl. That's what I get. That's what I get. It's a combo bowl.
No, I mean, this comes in a box.
So you don't like bowls?
I didn't know I could get it in a bowl. Do I just ask for the bowl?
Oh, I think we've got two different things going on here. There is a combo bowl, but you're only getting mashed potatoes. Why don't you get the combo bowl, okay, which has all kinds of ingredients in it, and dip that?
Sometimes when you're an expert, your knowledge actually extends into other fields that you don't actually have experience with. Combo bowl's good.
What's your third item?
My third one is I did the mini marathon last week, and back in the day, before I kind of ruined my ankles and knees, I actually did a lot of endurance type races, and I had signed up for the mini marathon at the peak of this last year, and I have not been in very good shape. And I was a little bit worried about doing it, and my wife said, hey, you can walk with us. And, you know, she and one of her friends, and I just, you know, I don't know, they're nice enough, but I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to talk about shopping and shoes and the things that women stereotypically talk about. So I dressed like a robot. And I walked the mini marathon as a robot.
I saw a picture of this. I forgot about this.
I dance walked the mini marathon. And let me tell you, one, I felt like a hero. Nobody knew my real name. They called me Robot. Literally, they yelled out, "Hey, Robot, keep going, Robot!" As if I was the first robot to ever attempt a 13.1 mile race.
It was a feel good story of this robot.
It really was. Like, there's people in wheelchairs, people recovering from heart attacks. No one gave a shit. They saw this robot. They're like,
that's the kind of thing people can get behind. That's the kind of story. That's like, it's like Rudy, but even more mechanical.
Oh, and let me tell you, one aspect of it that is a downfall, though, is to make a robot costume, you need cardboard. Cardboard does not breathe well at all. That's why they don't make running clothing out of cardboard.
The only reason.
It was a really hot day. Really hot day, really muggy. I could have, you know, in hindsight, looking back on it, there's a good possibility that I could have maybe died in that suit because of the heat. And I just thought, man, how either awesome would it be in my obituary that, you know, they said, oh, great guy for the most part, died in a robot suit, And you can take that as, oh, that's kind of neat. Like, oh, okay, that kind of defines him. Or, man, that's a horse. Like, really embarrassing.
There are worse obituary headlines than great guy dies in robot suit.
it'll be on your tombstone. Ethan Moses, husband, cat owner, sweaty robot.
Yep. You really don't want people reading your obituary, though, and thinking at the end of it, like, oh, that's kind of neat. You know, like, that's kind of neat. Like, die. Like, that. Yeah, like, that's not, you want people to be like,
you don't want them to be sad.
I do. I want people to be like, oh, what a treasure. We lost him. It's so tragic. Like,
I don't want people to be sad. Yeah. If they could say neat, I'd be okay with it because I don't like it when people cry. And I don't like when, like, I'm sick and people cry over me. Not very many people do, but I'm just saying if that situation happened. And if I'm looking down in heaven in my robot suit and everyone's crying, I'd be like, oh, this is uncomfortable. I'm going to go hide over here or something. But if everyone was like, oh, great. Well, no, we're actually feeling pretty good right now. Or they actually all don't, you know, to put on robot suits to honor me and then, you know, walk around the world and then the world became populated with just cardboard robots. That'd be great, too.
This is awesome.
So you're going to be idolized then?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
You're an inspiration, Ethan.
I feel
to me, if no one else.
The funny about doing it.
I'm just a big idiot, and for some reason, people – I think it makes people feel good, like, oh, man, I feel really dumb. I had a hard week at work, or someone's really a lot smarter than me. And then as I kind of, like, dash down the street in a cardboard costume, people kind of think to themselves – that's pretty dumb. So yeah, now I actually feel a lot more professional in my day-to-day, you know, life right now. So yeah, cool. No, I'm glad that guy did that. So yeah, I'm making people feel smarter across the world, perhaps. It's my thing, making people smile.
That was one of the best threesomes that had. Straight up.
It's pretty good.
All right, let's
end everything.
Yeah, okay, let's end yours on that high note then, and let's jump over to Justin Lacey. Good luck topping that one.
Oh, and I like disappointed you 3 times in a row last episode, so we'll see if I can't make a comeback here.
Here we go.
Do any of you guys watch Castle?
Nope. I like Nathan Fillion.
Okay.
I just haven't had a chance to watch Castle.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion fans, please apply. But Castle, the crime drama on ABC, has... It always tries to appeal to geek culture, and every once in a while, every 3 or 4 episodes, they'll just kind of hit some sort of thing that you know Nathan Fillion made them put into the script. Like, they've explored, like, the steampunk underworld. They've had their vampire episodes. They've had, like, their old-timey duels. They've had a little bit of everything. And they finally had an honest-to-God zombie episode. And, you know, this show isn't, like, I don't watch it for the drama, you know. The two main characters are fairly interesting. You know, the premise of the show, Castle, he works with the NYPD. He's a fiction writer, and the main detective is his muse for writing books, and he helps them solve crimes by thinking and trying to make a story out of every crime scene they come across. But anyway, that's beside the point of why this episode is so excellent. It literally has my favorite moment of the entire series, and it's about 2 seconds long, and it involves a high five. And basically, you know, the premise of the episode is for at least the first 10-15 minutes, they have a killing that the only explanation for it is that a zombie killed the guy, and they stretch out that premise as long as they possibly can, and Castle just gets more and more excited by the possibility that there might actually be zombies, and it is just, I just had this big dumb grin on my face the entire episode. So it was the episode before the season finale. So it was a good way to close the season, but I really like that show. It's a lot of fun.
That's neat.
Yeah. Thanks.
I was hoping just reading our list, I was hoping it was going to be a movie about zombies in a castle trying to get along.
Oh, right, because on your notes it says Castle Zombies.
Yeah, I did that just to get some false hope built up there. So
someone takes a bridge up.
Yeah.
Takes
mission
a bridge
accomplished.
Up, can't cross the moat. You're just like literally stuck in like a castle with zombies. That would be scary, man.
If everybody's going to find the show Castle Zombies, Ethan, it's going to be you. You had Alien Tornado last episode.
Yeah,
that's right. That was it. Oh, my God. So, that's right.
It's tough to follow up. And then a couple of movies. I fell asleep watching Underworld Awakening. So,
oh man,
I mentioned that purely for the irony. I'm actually a pretty decent Underworld fan and have enjoyed the other three movies, but could not stay awake for this one. It was, and I don't fall asleep during movies, and it wasn't all that late. It was just,
it's called Awakening, and you fell asleep.
It was boring as hell. Like, they're just
for the credits to turn it off.
And like, not to say that the plot should be the big draw in these movies, but it's just one of those where they froze the main character and dropped her off in the future, and with everything else that has happened in this series without consequence, like, you just kind of wonder what the hell the point is. And they just, the special effects are dumb. It was one of those
really bad.
It was one of those quickly made 3D 3D films, and I hate it when you watch a 3D film in 2D and you can tell the moments that they went for the 3D effect. And it was one right after the other, and just silly and not engrossing at all, and kind of a disappointment. And I mean, Kate Beckinsale's in a leather suit the entire time, and I could care less. So I don't recommend an Underworld Awakening.
And it was really bad.
Yeah.
That was a bad movie.
That's yeah.
Sad. You shouldn't watch it.
I can't.
Like, don't watch it.
No, okay. I'll
watch it now.
Like, it's by, it so it's by Screen Gems, and they're the ones that are behind the the Resident Evil movies. And like,
those are real gems.
And so I go back to the second Resident Evil movie that I just think is terrible and unwatchable. Underworld Awakening is not unwatchable. It's just boring. That's
it,
like,
is a, yeah. Yep.
It's not terrible for the sake of like B movie entertainment. It's just boring and
nothing happens.
Yeah.
The entire movie, it's like, you know, an hour and a half or yeah, whatever long. And it's like, you get a 30-second like setup or whatever, and then you get, oh, she's unfrozen, and then she like runs out of a building.
Don't run away. I'm
goes
watch
into
this.
Another
yeah,
building.
I was gonna say, dude, come on.
I think there's three locations in the entire fucking movie. There's like three sets. The whole movie takes place, and literally nothing happens. It's like 24 hours, and it is not like a tour de force.
Nope.
I mean, it is like 24 boring fucking hours.
Well, it is called Awakening, not awaken active in their day-to-day routine. So, I mean, maybe the next movie is going to be really good. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, now we're feeling good. Like, they're not, you know.
This would have been a better movie if it was literally just Kate Beckinsale waking up. Like, just the camera's on her and her eyes flutter a little bit. And then she kind of, and then turns her head and then kind of stretches and yawns. And then, like, just do that in slow-mo 3D.
For
like zoomed
minutes
in on her face. Mm-hmm. For an hour and a half, yeah.
Wipes the eye boogers out. Yeah, I do. I like that. Sounds
Kate Beckinsale's
good,
eye boogers, I would eat them.
That's hot.
Oh, no.
Mm.
No, I don't care whose eye boogers. All eye boogers look the same. Probably taste
I think
the same.
I'd rather eat real boogers than eye boogers. That's gross. Because I don't know what that's made out of.
Yeah, you really
don't.
It's
not always in boogers either.
It's made out of mucus. Poison. It's mucus.
Ugh. Mucus. It sounds horrible. What is that? Ugh. No.
Trust me, this conversation has been more entertaining than that whole
yes,
movie was.
I would go that far.
Oh, so bad. Okay.
And then one movie I was worried about that I ended up really liking. I finally watched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the American David Fincher version. And I had heard things that it basically was a good movie, but kind of depressing. Like, it's just not an uplifting film and kind of wears you out by the end of the film. So I'd been putting it off just because I hadn't been in the mood to watch it. And it really didn't seem like a date type of movie with the girlfriend. And so I finally just put it on myself, but got really roped into it. And it's, you know, it's a dark movie, but I didn't feel by any means beat up by the end. It felt very kind of along the lines of Seven, but it's much more of a crime drama than I didn't really know anything about the backstory. I've been purposely avoiding it, but much more of a crime drama and some very interesting characters. And you know, the title character definitely steals the show, and I think it's worth seeing. If you're, especially if you're a David Fincher fan and can get into some of his darkness there.
Is it really dumb of me that I saw Daniel Craig on the poster for this and I thought it was just another Bond movie?
No.
Like the girl with the dragon tattoo, like just another one of those little... Yeah,
Man with the Moonraker. Kind of does sound like a Bond movie, yeah.
I was going to say, that's the first thing that I thought. And the second thing I thought was, that's a lot of commitment to get a dragon tattoo. I mean, that's just, you know, of all the mythological creatures that you could get tattooed on you, the dragon is like, you're in, and you're not ever going to be able to get out of that. And that's just kind of a tattoo thing. I was told when I tried to get a tattoo of a spirit wolf on my arm that was probably too much of a commitment, but not as much as a dragon tattoo. So that's just a side note if you're thinking about getting a tattoo in the future.
Especially for a girl.
Well, it's the amount of, what the guys say, scales. The scales. Oh. A lot of time on the scales.
Couldn't you just make a smaller dragon? I mean, I'm just trying to be practical here. Like, you just make like a dragon with like
five. The guy also said that tattoo artists will not do a small dragon. They'll only do large dragons or dragons that cover your whole arm.
I want to do small
ones. Don't get the red dragon.
Yeah,
I want my entire body to be covered in dragons, and I want their scales to be toenails.
You would be impenetrable. Dragons.
You would be in so much pain though. That is a lot of detail work. But I applaud you. I'd hold your hand after you got a tattoo. I really would. If you got a tattoo like that, just being a good friend.
Ethan, if this was a Bond movie, how would the theme song go?
Just like that, silence.
He's so musical. I just assumed he would already have a song.
It's a girl with a dragon tattoo. It's like a Merle Haggard song.
Patsy Cline?
Like a sad country song. It's like, you know, oh, we're out of really, you know, catchy, you know, pop type song ideas. Let's just get a really sad country singer to do this, you know?
We're going to have to add some horns in there. Maybe a guitar, wailing guitar.
Maybe a banjo.
That maybe wasn't your best number.
You caught me off guard with that. I will write a girl with a dragon tattoo James Bond theme song by the end of the evening, just so that everybody at home has that much faith in me. Yeah.
I just want to point out that you have heard his vocal stylings before. That's Ethan's voice in the intro song, the theme song to Super Gaming Best Friends. That's
really?
You think like – so obviously he let us down just now.
Right. Because that intro, it's an impressive piece of work. So, you know, I'm just wondering if perhaps maybe you outsourced the creation of that to maybe somebody else with more talent and then took it for yourself.
That's terrible.
No, I put a lot of time and effort into the Super Gaming Best Friend song. I didn't put a lot of time and effort in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo James Bond theme. And I apologize. And I also think that what I just said sounds really crazy.
Mm-hmm. We'll revisit that.
Okay.
Justin, were you? Was that? No, do you have anything else to add to you?
I think you guys summed it up.
Okay. Oh, all right, Dito, your threesomes.
All right.
Your threesomes is your threesomes.
So I get to have more than
it
one.
Sounds like each one is a threesome. It sounds weird when I say it like that.
Yeah,
that's nine.
Lots of threesomes.
Your individuals.
My individuals.
That sounds bad.
You mean my employees?
No, I don't understand. Let's talk about your junk.
Yeah, yeah. So speaking of that, that's a good segue. My junk
did you shoot into space to kill aliens?
Yes. No, actually on Sunday it was Mother's Day. thank you. Thank you, Josh. So Sunday was Mother's Day. And every year my brother, he's really good at giving gifts. He just always had a knack for it. This year let me start with last year. So last year he gave her a very memorable gift. My mom is a little bit older in her age, and she is having maybe some trouble recalling her younger days. So he gave her a nice big picture of her water skiing, and it was very tasteful and well done. And by comparison, made my gift look like shit. So that sucks. And she understands it. She understands like I'm the lesser son, and it's okay, you know, we're all on the same page.
It's been established, and so expectations are set.
Right, exactly. So it's okay. But it doesn't mean that, you know, I don't have goals in my mind to come back and become, like, once again, the dominant son. So that was last year. And then this year, They went to San Francisco. So basically, they went around and had a great time. I got left behind at home, and that was really cool.
That sucks.
Which actually happened before, too. They went to Disney World, and I stayed home and watched the animals. So I'm a little bit like, let's see, what's the, is like Snow, not Snow White. What's the one, like, redheaded stepchild Disney character?
Rapunzel?
No, no, it's, she's got like three sisters, man. How do you know this? Cinderella. Cinderella. Cinderella.
I don't know who you're talking
You've
about.
Never seen Cinderella? Okay. Yeah. Anyways. So anyways, they go on this trip to San Francisco, got all these pictures, they go around town. And so he gives her a scrapbook that's like super well made, all these little crafty little buttons, and like there's like one of the pictures, like a little wallet, and this is not like a picture of a wallet. It's like an actual little miniature wallet with a passport and shit shoved in the little sleeves.
Cramps.
Yeah, like this thing is straight out of like Oprah Winfrey craft time. Like, you know, it's right out of that. And I'm just like, okay, I could never do that. So I don't feel bad because I couldn't ever like allow myself to do that. I would never feel good about it. If I did that, it would probably make me feel like less of a man. May just be rationalizing. Anyway, so my gift to my mom, I was like, I'm going to come back this year. I'm going to really do it. And so I go and I take her to a symphony. I saw there was a symphony in Indianapolis Indianapolis World Symphony. The Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra.
The ISO,
right? They had a presentation. So I went ahead and took my mom there. And everything's going great until we sit down. And I look up at the stage, and the performers look like they're about seven. So it was the New World Youth Orchestra symphony, and basically kind of felt like we were at a first grade recital.
How did you mess that up?
The picture of the people on the cover when I bought the tickets, it was not a whole lot of research and development that went into this
or reading.
Right. Well, right. But I mean, I thought, like, shut up, asshole. Anyway, yeah, who's laughing? Who's out there laughing? Talking about, I read 45 minutes of a video game. Couldn't remember. Anyways, all right. Touché. That being said, you know, it had pictures of people, and they looked like they were in their 20s. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, like, end of high school, early college, through college, you know, these are people that aren't 45 years old and been in the, you know, New Cleveland Symphonic Orchestra. You never heard of New Cleveland?
No. Right, it sounds like a space colony. Like a shitty one.
Yeah, yeah, it does kind of actually.
Just like one marshal. It's like wild, but yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, anyways, the picture was misleading because everybody on that picture was like 20. Like I could have had sex with and not been a child molester. And these kids, had braces. They all had pigtails. They were young. So I feel like an idiot. Like I took my mom's sitting, she, of course she's being sweet, like, oh, yeah, I really love this, honey, but she's like thinking to herself, "The hell's wrong with my son? Why would he take me?"
Did you see her like texting, like away from, like pointing her phone away from you while she's texting?
No,
because then you know that's a sign.
I didn't have the courage to look at her in the eyes. Anyways, I mean, it did get better. It did get better because it started off and they went from like youngest to oldest, and the youngest were really very young and didn't sound really very impressive. It was just sound like a normal grade school band, in my opinion, but. It did end up getting better, but you know, at the outset I felt kind of like a moron.
Wow.
So yeah, it's kind of a fail, kind of a little bit of a fail. So if you guys have suggestions of what I could do next year, please send them in.
Yeah. What? I'm pretty sure anything is going to be better than what you did.
Right.
Well, try flowers in a card.
Oh, that is, that's lame.
Ethan, didn't you go to the cat circus or something?
Well, that wasn't with my mom. I actually got my mom KFC, but I happened to catch
it. Yeah, you gave your mom KFC diarrhea, man. That's like...
I was going to say, yeah. No, I your story, I was kind of like taking notes when you were describing what you did. So, yeah, there's always certain, you know, levels of expectations, but
yeah,
I get really bad gifts for people. It kind of sucks, but it's also kind of funny being the son who's like, you know, kind of not achieving a whole lot. Like I think I like to wear that proudly. You know, it's almost like, oh, that's fun, because then everyone's like, ah, that's a, you know, he forgot the cardigan, or he pooped his pants, or he's drunk too much. Like they're always cool with it. It's almost like you get a slide. So yeah, I'm okay.
You gotta set the bar low, because then any mediocre thing you do is groundbreaking. You know,
oh my god, it is celebrated. Like, oh, like yeah. Guys, hey. I got my oil change today, and people, like, my whole family will surround me and, like, put me up on their shoulders and be like, this is great!
You're incredible!
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Mediocrity is awesome.
I feel much better about what I did on Sunday. You really brought me to a place that I can accept in my heart.
That's why I'm here.
Man, this has been an uplifting, heartwarming show.
Yeah.
What else you have there?
All right. So let's see what else. So we were talking about movies, and so I don't know if somebody mentioned this earlier or mentioned something like this, but I watched The Thing. The recent one came out in 2011. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone who watches TV anymore. I watch pretty much everything on demand. You know, I don't see commercials. And if I do see commercials, I'll tab and come back when they're done. Right? The advertising industry is not getting to me. I got spam filters on my email.
We're in the future.
Yeah. So, yeah, we are. We actually – and now we are again. So I went to watch The Thing, and I had no idea what The Thing was about. I hadn't seen any previews for it.
Did you see the original?
I did not see the original.
What? Oh, okay. Weird.
Well, yeah. It was weird. So I watched it, and I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I did not mind watching the whole thing, but something about the way the monster in the movie was – you know, just graphically enhanced. It was so guttural and raw. What were you talking about earlier? It was really pulpy. It was game.
Super Meat Boy.
Meathead Boy
Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy. Yeah. So we were watching that, or you guys were talking about that. And it's kind of like that. It was just like there's so much pulp coming from every direction, and it looked like, you know, like noodles, like those thick pasta noodles that are kind of like they've got a circle in the middle and they're long.
Rotini?
It might be rotini. Yeah, it sounds right. So if you imagine a rotini covered – I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, shit, my pasta.
Yeah. Well, so it's just like the straight ones that are kind of thick and like they have a space in the middle. Like kind of like you put a bunch together, they'd be a mm-hmm. pipe. Mm-hmm. So that's what the guy's little weapons are, and he shoots them across the room. He can attack from pretty much – you know, any distance, you know, and so he's attacking and he's doing all stuff. And meanwhile, you know, scientists are fighting him and doing pretty terrible at it. And, you know, they wouldn't know how to fight this thing necessarily. Mm-hmm. They've never seen anything, but you know,
it's like somebody with playing the Resident Evil tank controls with like one hand or something.
Yeah. Direct analysis of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It's just like driving a tank with one hand is mm-hmm. trying to fight a monster that, shoots noodles.
I mean, just see, yeah, like, but I know what you mean, though. <It's the same laughs> You know, like, the combat is kind of clumsy. These are not like trained mercenaries or something,
right?
Like you said, you know, these are scientists,
right? So yeah, and they don't know what to do, and they also
some don't speak English,
right? That's correct.
It means they're dumb,
right? Yeah, I mean, if you don't speak American, then you American't. So. But yeah, they were trying to deal with this, and they didn't know how to go about it, and they were surprised. They didn't know it was alive. It's frozen. Everything that's cold must be dead. So, obviously they just assumed that it had been dead, and you know it posed no danger. So we'll take this big, huge thing that we don't know what it is, and a huge frozen block, and put it in some place where it can melt and get out and get free. Which I think I would immediately say like, oh well, I think it's melting on the floor. That guy goes in to check on it. And like it blows up in his face, and you can see the water melting.
Have they seen Captain America?
Yeah, but I don't think so.
Like how? No. Come on.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so they make some mistakes at the beginning, which is bound to happen when you're attacked by an alien life form that you stumble across in an archaeology dig in Alaska, or no, it was like the
Antarctica.
Yeah, exactly, same place. You know, they make some mistakes at the beginning, but no, then they keep doing it. They've fumbled the entire time. You know, they find like a pretty much fail-safe defense. Like they have, you know, 18 flamethrowers. Thank goodness.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, you know, who goes to Antarctica without your flamethrower packs?
And it's like, you know, you can't trust anyone, right? So yeah. Like anybody could have this. It's really like a virus.
Right. Because if you haven't seen it, and it replicates whatever, you know, it attacks. It attacks and it recreates it and it can recreate any organic material.
Right, right. It'll like consume you and then it can turn into you once it's got your DNA. But so you can't trust anyone. So you go out in pairs. But like, well, one guy against this thing caught off guard is no good.
Right.
I think it should have been in like threes or fours. And you never split up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a horror film. So obviously there's going to be a few, you know, some of the tropes.
Yeah. But here's my problem with it. So it wasn't like this. I mean, it is an intimidating, extremely scary, confusing, have no idea how to fight this thing. You know, you can't really kill it. But they really dropped the ball, because it's not like they didn't conquer it. They beat it several times, and they brought it back, and they did the same thing, like bringing the ice block into a room where it can melt. It's like they're torching it. It's things like scalding mess. And then they like, hold it, okay, stop it. Okay, it's done. You don't need to hurt it anymore. And then it comes back to life, and obviously wasn't done. So the next time they catch it with a flamethrower, it gets burnt, and like guy walks up to it, and he just like grabs her hand. He's like, hey, stop it. You're killing it with your emotions. You don't need to burn it. It's okay. You could let go. It's dead now. Not like before when we did the same thing. It's dead now. And then, of course, it comes back to life. And at no point do these people consider, you know, maybe we should just put a little bit of extra on top. Right, you know, right.
This is burned so we can't burn anymore.
Right. Yeah. Or like we run out of fluid, because if it comes back again, it doesn't really matter. We're boned, you know? So
yeah.
I had trouble getting high, but I watched, I really did enjoy it. I was freaked out and creeped out by the enemy alien, just simply by the way they animated it. But
okay. So this is weird, because the thing, the way it ends,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to like give it away, but the way it ends at the beginning of the first movie from the 70s, you know, the John Carpenter one.
I can't confirm that. I didn't see it.
Okay, so...
it wasn't a reimagining. It was a...
It's a prequel. A direct prequel. I thought it was going in, because I loved the original, or the remake of the... Whatever. John Carpenter's is the original, because it was the only one that was good.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a remake or just a reimagining.
Yeah, that's what I saying. Thought.
And hell no, it's a prequel. It's the Norwegian camp that they find at the beginning of the first one.
Hmm.
And there's the scene, the very, very last scene you see is the credits are starting to roll and the John Carpenter music starts coming on. And then you see, you know, and there's the guy and the thing, the
right.
And then, you know, and
the
there's
snow cat.
A little and he's got it. That's how it starts.
Mm.
The old one looks exact, and they got it. It's perfect. It looks exactly like the shots, you know, and everything that looks like the original film. It's yeah. So you need to go watch the original now.
Because yeah, you do. Yeah, it's much better. Yeah, it's
way better movie. Yeah, I liked the new one, but the original is fantastic. Kurt Russell, Keith David.
I'll watch it. I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not based on your recommendation, but based on the star.
They're full of shit, just for the record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Your third one?
So my last one. So I've been on a kick lately because I realized that, you know, summer's upon us, and I am, you know, spend a good amount of time up on the lake. And so I'm trying to kind of get rid of some of the Taco Bell I've been storing around my body in various places. So I, you know, I was looking at ways to work out, and there's been advertisements on the internet about P90X, and I'm thinking, wow, P90X sounds pretty cool. You know, it's got numbers in it. It looks like
it's a badass acronym. Is what it
yeah,
is.
Maybe like data or something like that. It looks like it's be a really effective workout, and everybody that's on there is ripped, and they wouldn't put them on there unless it works. So I think to myself, it's good, but I got to compare it with something, you know, like to make sure it's legitimate. If you don't compare a product against another product before you buy it, you're probably not making the most informed decision. So I was looking at P90X, and I was trying to find like something to contrast it with, and I came across a gym. It's called Thug Workout, and you know, a lot of you have probably seen it in theaters or, you know, online, but it's mostly large men of various descents. Well, no, it's one descent, but there are large men going out and exercising in playgrounds. They go to playgrounds in random places where you would not normally exercise.
All these guys look like Czech Congo if you're a UFC
fan. Yeah, yeah, they're huge and all so
they're
ripped.
Not French, though.
Right, they're not French. Pretty sure they don't speak French either. But they're just big guys, and they're all ripped, and they're all working out on playgrounds.
You don't need equipment.
Right, yeah, that's their whole thing is like, you know, like we grew up hard, we grew up tough, and you don't need
nothing more street than playground.
Yeah, you don't need to go to a nice fluffy gym to get like to get hard, to get swole. Like what you need to do.
You want to work your
trunk. Right.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the things they say is like you gotta work your trunk area. So they're not like saying like they're not, you know, most people are like, oh, you gotta work your latissimus dorsi, you know, you gotta do like the
wait,
perfect
is that
cross.
Real? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, latissimus.
Okay.
That's, wait, like,
that's your big
dolphins
one.
Dolphins have two of those.
Yes.
What the all you guys are anatomists.
Yeah.
Scientitians.
Mathematologists.
Mathletes.
But
this is real deal. These guys are These guys are ripped.
Yep.
And they got ripped by doing some like some crazy real stuff. Fucking crazy workouts. And I mean, you've never seen monkey bars used like this.
Yeah, never. Well, never do amazing stuff.
I don't want to ruin anybody's day, but those guys are not that big because they're working out on a fucking playground. Same thing with the P90X. Ethan
bringing reality once again.
There's no way all of those
are. They're not liars. Okay.
Those dudes are pumped up. Those guys have so many steroids in them. It's not even funny.
They can't afford steroids. They can't afford them.
Well, they use their gym membership money on the steroids, and then they go. Okay, so here's the thing.
I'm disillusioned right now.
There's a savings there.
The thing that gets me is like, if these guys are like, if this is popular, like if this actually got like all these dudes are like, yeah, let's go do the thug workout at the playground. Where are the fucking kids gonna play?
They don't play in a hood.
Yeah.
Okay. But just saying, like that's seems like really awful. Thing to do is like, you know, hey, let's go use the playground in the middle of the day where there would normally be kids playing and use their shit. Yeah. Hey, let's go use kids' shit. Like, make your own shit. Make your big boy, equipment, and then go play off your own monkey bars.
Yeah.
Nope. Jeez, that's so white bread of you to say.
Yeah.
In the hood, everything's the opposite in the hood. So the things that adults should be doing, kids tend to be doing. And the things that kids should be doing, adults hang out there. You know what I mean? So like the Chuck E. Cheese and the playground and, you know, those little go-karts. That's where the adults hang out. Kids are at home taking care of babies, you know, and making sure that their family members are safe. That's role reversal, unfortunately, but that's reality of the situation. If I was a kid, just imagine as a kid walking up on gigantically strong men, you know, doing chin-ups on the freaking monkey bars.
Makes you want to get tough.
Well, and maybe that's not a bad thing for the kids. Maybe those kids need to stop being such big pussies. You know, there's another side of it, you know. Do some push-ups. You know, get your calves in shape. Yeah. Come on.
This playground's not for playing.
Yeah.
It's for getting swole.
Yes, for getting swole. And it works, too. I mean, if you get to the point where you can do the workouts that they can do, which will probably take.
If you're already in amazing shape, these workouts will do wonders for you.
It'll be easy.
You should see. I mean, these are some tough. They're actually doing some tough.
Yeah,
they
really are doing pretty crazy.
One handed upside down chin ups.
Yeah,
with like four people hanging off of them.
Yeah,
that'll do it.
Yep. Yeah, most of them are dead bodies, but it's realistic.
Well, three legged monkey squats.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's in there.
Yeah.
So this is you can get this on DVD on Amazon for like $9. It's on Prime too. I know because I own
good. DVD. Yeah.
And it's
not even joking.
It would be the best $9 that anybody's ever spent. And that includes like $9. Like you bought $9 of Apple stock before it went up. You know, way
don't,
better.
Don't buy $9 applesauce though. That's not really.
Yeah, well, that would probably be
a waste of money.
I want to add one more thing to this before we wrap it up. Thug Workout also has one of the greatest soundtracks.
Yes, it does. It's very good.
It's all Rough Riders, but I don't think there's much DMX. I think it's all the other guys.
There's not enough DMX, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think there's one DMX song in there.
Styles P, mm-hmm. Shoot Him in the Head.
That
is a choice track.
It's the best. You got to listen to it. If you have ever heard a song and thought, okay, I can't tell if they're serious. I think they're serious about what they're talking about. You know, like because some songs they're ridiculous. They have ridiculous things, but this one is just is talking about shooting people and shooting them in different places,
all over their body,
all of their body, and then just talking about just all the different places, like listing
shoot
it out.
Shoot them in the head. Shoot them in the face and the neck.
Yeah.
Shoot them in the chest.
I shoot them in the head.
Shoot them in the fist and the foot.
Shoot
them in the legs and the arms.
Yeah.
And then it's like shoot them until they ain't got no blood left.
Right.
Like that. Those are the lines out of this song. I mean, you want to kill someone. Like, that's what you want to work out to.
Yes.
You know?
On the playground.
Good soundtrack.
And there will probably never be a less inviting scene of a playground to a child than, you know, large, scary black man working out upside down on monkey bars with shoot him in the face and the head and the leg and the chin and the neck. It's it's something that everybody has to do at least once.
I seriously want to do these. I'm not strong enough to do any of the stuff that they're doing.
Right.
So I think Ethan doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah.
No. There's a playground outside my house. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, let's do it. Let's film it.
Yeah.
You guys come over. We're going to have to take our shirts off, but that's okay. And let's do it. Let's do some chin-ups.
I don't know if it's going to have the same effect. Like three on the plate. We're going to look like picked up for child molesters or something like that. It was like a prank. Like, oh, you got me, Ashton. Like, you're sitting in your house pointing at me and Josh as we get arrested and carted away to jail and, like, a permanent record.
All right, gentlemen. Off the playground. We know what you're doing here. No, you're not working out.
All right, we're running out of time here, so I'm going to bust through my threesomes real quick here. First of all, I watched The Avengers. It was the best superhero movie that I've seen. It was a fantastic movie in general. It's going to end up like probably breaking all sales records, which is great because that means we'll get two as fast as possible. if you haven't seen it, you're an idiot and you need to go see it now. But watch the other Marvel movies first because you'll appreciate all the characters.
Except for the Hulk movies.
Hulk movie was good.
Mark Ruffalo, best Bruce Banner.
I agree.
The Avengers is the best Hulk movie. I'll say that much. And Joss Whedon writes the best dialogue. It's witty. It's very much in line with the way he wrote Astonishing X-Men, I think, the comics. He has his Whedon-y moments, but they're not, they only are there to serve the characters in the story. And, I had absolutely no complaints with this movie.
Are there random Firefly characters in the movie?
Nope.
Okay. I was just curious.
Zero.
They did mention Serenity. I think not like talking about the ship, but,
you definitely don't need to see it in 3D either.
Yeah.
The 2D version is just fine.
What can I ask it was this?
Anyways,
what there were two amazing summers when, at least around here, I know the Midwest is kind of probably out of touch with this a little bit, but two amazing summers where they were really pushing IMAX hardcore, but it was before 3D, and those were my favorite summers. But now, finding just an IMAX screening that isn't in 3D is a pain in the ass, and I would much rather.
Yeah, play Jeff on that one.
Yeah.
So Avengers, it was great, but everybody knows that saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen a single negative review.
Yeah, you haven't seen the movie yet, right?
I have seen it.
Okay, Ethan, but you haven't.
No, not yet. I haven't taken the opportunity. I am stupid, but I need to. I want to see it. I want to see it really bad. It's not like I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna like that movie. I know I'm gonna like it. I know I'm gonna yell in the theater. I'm probably gonna raise the roof or fist pump. Or hi-fi the person next to me. I'm aware of it. I just haven't had the opportunity to go and actually watch it.
Go to like a matinee or something. You don't want
to
be...
Don't tell me how to watch my movies.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to watch it full price at night with my friends.
I'm just saying,
at a playground. A
packed theater, because I know some other people that I know some other people that have seen it in a packed theater, and some of the laugh moments, you know, they would kind of laugh through the next line. And sometimes there's like some good setup kind of exchanges that's, you know, both things are funny, and you're going to miss the second one by a bunch of people going, guffaw.
Some of the moments are that funny, though. I mean, there's some really funny moments.
There's some hilarious moments that I can't talk about, but were really, really, really funny. Just whatever you do, do not let it get out of the theater. You want to see it on the big screen.
Yep.
Next up, I finally discovered Chris Hardwick's Nerdist, a YouTube channel. Chris Hardwick.
Of Singled Out fame.
Singled Out fame, yes. He has started this little little production company thing. So I don't know exactly who's funding what or whatever, but here's the thing. There are some fantastic web shows, and Revision 3 is the first. That got me into watching TV on the internet, you know, like Channel 101 was just like the goofy fun version of that stuff. And then Revision 3, it's like, hey, there's weekly shows, and they're some of them are awesome, like the Totally Rad Show. Those guys are fantastic. Which, by the way, Alex Albrecht from Totally Rad Show and from Dig Nation, it has a show called 4 Points. on here that is really good. Just check that out. Celebrity All-Star Bowling, though, is my favorite. the guy, Chris Hardwick, his dad was a professional bowler. Mm-hmm. So he's actually really good as well. Him and like three people from the different Nerdist shows take on some celebrities, and they had like the Mad Men cast on there, and it was actually like John Hamm was there. So you know they didn't just get like the B-lister guys or whatever, but John Hamm and then Pete Campbell. He had a really really funny thing he said on there. I don't want to spoil it. You got to go watch that if you like Mad Men. You have to see it. John Hamm just looking sexy. Mm-hmm.
Man is smooth,
and he is yeah. And
Sergio.
Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about Sergio. That was his best character he's done. So that one's really good. And the comic book club is fucking awesome. Some dudes in a comedy club, these like three guys that are hilarious together, kind of like us, and kind of not as good, but
hilarious. And that sounds just like me.
And then they'll bring in a couple of guests. They had Bill Hader on there. He was funny. They has like comic book guy, like some real guys in the industry too, and then some celebrities. But they had Kevin Conroy on the last one I watched, who's the voice of Batman and all the animated stuff in the games, and that was really funny. He was great. But they actually talk about comics, and I think it's like a great intro for people that aren't really into comics to kind of like, because it's funny no matter what. I think you could watch it and laugh if it wasn't, even if you didn't know shit about it, but. So that was awesome. And then I'll drop real quick. My last thing is, if you have any interest in making your own chiptunes, but you're an idiot like me, as long as you have a program like GarageBand, if you got a Mac, or if you can get a free, tool, like, I don't know,
Audacity.
I don't know if that'll do it. Maybe
it's like
it'll take VST plugins and stuff.
If anything
that'll take a VST plugin, you can use Magical 8-Bit Plugin. It's this free download, and it's just got chiptune like sounds. I mean, I know there's like real like trackers, like Family Tracker and stuff like that, that, you know, for guys that are really into it. But if you're just an idiot and you just want to like pound on the keys and just go boop 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 boop, you can do this with Magical 8-Bit Plugin. And I was making chiptunes in minutes with this thing. It's
boop a doop boop boop.
Yeah. I think I saw somebody pimping it on Twitter, you know, one of the chiptune artists follows, and they said, hey, check this out. It's how I used some sounds or made some sounds in my shit.
Love to know how you made some sounds in your shit. Please give me a recording of that sound.
I'm pretty sure that's what they said. Yeah. So yep. That will do it for this week's show. We went with this kind of a long one, but when you're on a roll, you're on a roll. So thanks for joining us. Justin, Ethan, as always, thank you for coming on. Special guest, Justin Gidman, Dito, thank you. It was very nice having you on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That'll be $37.50.
And thanks for listening.
Don't forget to validate his parking.
That's right.
Thanks for listening. We will see you again in 2 weeks for another episode of Super Gaming Best Friends. Woo.